Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more. We're able. So many times we give and rhyme to our quite something able. We're not so mad in Camelot. We sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I am Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shaziz the Turbo. All those who are King Shaziz the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
Was that ant that stood up to me?
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Didn't that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
to Zed the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. Anyway, say hi to everybody over there at Wolf Spirit Radio and People for People Radio. And if you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. Hold on, I got to make a phone call real quick. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Hello.
There you are.
And we're live.
Oh, we are.
Live. Yeah, that's it. I just threw you right into the mess.
You do that quite often.
Hold on,
I don't even know.
Comb my hair yet.
I don't even have. Well, you know the saying. I don't have my makeup on, but I don't wear makeup, so
that's all right. I'm
got okay.
A for radio anyway, so. Anyway, so. So, like, I jump in this really cool-looking futuristic spaceship slash time machine, and I'm traveling through time and space with my hair all jacked up. I got my first cup of coffee, and I just kind of jumped in and decided, let's see where this takes me today. So, anyways, I'm blasting through time and space, and I just pick up my friend Barb. And, we're just riding along, we're drinking our coffee, and all of a sudden we see this pretty blue planet over there, and we just kind of fly in and see what happens, and it turns out we land on Ludicrous World. This is all.
Ludicrous World!
Yeah.
All right.
So
who's the pilot here? You got to change course.
Oh, we had it on autopilot, so we just said we just like rolling the dice and see where you land, kind of thing.
I don't trust those AIs, those artificial intelligence. You give it over to them, they'll take you where they want you to go.
That's where we ended up, man. We should have probably just made a decision, instead, maybe throw a dart at the star chart and see which one it lands on, and then.
Wow. Yeah, so you went through that Stargate that I sent you that information.
Yeah,
interesting.
I was looking at that.
Interesting, you're talking about that Stargate. We landed, we came through a Stargate onto the Ludicrous World, is that what you're calling
that's
it?
That's where we're at. We're on Ludicrous World.
I don't have that in my notebook, in my files, anywhere about the Ludicrous World. Like, what is that?
Well, I don't know. I looked up the definition of ludicrous. Let me see if I can get back to it. Okay, ludicrous is so foolish, unreasonable, or out of place as to be amusing and ridiculous.
So, well, are we going to be amused, or?
We might be.
I don't know. I'd rather be amused.
Well, yeah, like laughter, I also looked up laughter because I got to thinking, if you let this world get to you, it'll drive you insane. So they say laughter's good medicine, and there's some documents out there to verify that kind of deal, but where in the heck did it? Laughter is a physical reaction in humans consisting typically of rhythmic, often audible contractions of the diaphragm and other parts of the respiratory system. It is a response to certain external and external stimulation. Laughter can arise from such activity as being tickled or from humorous stories or thoughts. Happiness. Hold on, I missed something. Oh. Most commonly is considered a visual expression of a number of positive emotions. I'll just leave it at that. That's good enough.
We need positive emotions. I'm going to sign up for that.
Yeah, so we landed on Ludicrous World, and the world we came from was semi-normal. It wasn't like, normal, whatever normal is. It was just, everything made sense. So we're down here and we're watching all these people and they're doing all kinds of crazy stuff. There is actually a TV show called Ridiculousness where they go out and they find all these YouTube videos of people doing crazy stuff, falling over things and that kind of stuff. Like a golfer, he swings at a golf ball and falls in the pond or something like that.
Let me ask you something now.
Yeah.
What's the ratings on that show?
I
bet they're high.
Yeah, I don't know, but there's a lot of people watch that show. My only thing is, you know, I don't mind laughing at things that are funny. You know, there's some things that are funny, but there are some things that really, you know, aren't so funny that they laugh at. But I don't know. It's just people in this world have kind of been desensitized to, you know, other people's feelings, it seems to me. And so when you look at that, you know, it's like, man, that ain't funny. Somebody could have got hurt, you know. Or,
well, everybody has a different sense of humor. Sometimes people think things are hilarious, and I'm sitting there like, wow, yeah. I don't get it. What planet am I from? Speaking of what planet, where did we come from? What planet?
Well, I'm not exactly sure, because after all this madness, I done forgot where we were.
Well, we went through the space gate, or the time gate, or the, what is it called? Oh, the Stargate.
Stargate, yeah.
You know, people are traveling through this Stargate a lot, I think.
I think so. When you get down here and you try to watch everything that's going on, you know, kind of, you know, blend in with society and all that kind of stuff, and you see just flat-out ridiculousness going on, it's just, it don't make no sense to me a lot of times to see how people treat each other in this world, or even how this world, some of the decisions that humans make. It just, it's ludicrous. I mean, there's common sense, I think. Maybe I'm going to have to Google.
Is there common sense?
I don't know.
Well, I'm just going to Google that one, too. I love Googling stuff.
Well,
let's see.
Google common sense.
Common. What is it? Well, wait now. We got the word common in there. Remember what I said about common?
Yeah.
We're called the commoners, the common, which is below everything that believes they're above us. So that's the common. So, okay. What am I looking at? Common what?
Common sense.
Oh, common sense. Let's see. Common sense.
Hey, I think Patty's on board. You want to throw her in here, too?
Who?
Patty Walking Turtle.
Oh, yeah. She's another person from the planet we're from. Let's call her in. Okay. Sister.
See if
I
can get her in here. I love that picture she's got, because it makes me feel
we
all
are looking
inside.
Up. We just came through a Stargate, sis. Welcome aboard.
Is she there yet?
Common sense, good sense, and sound judgment in practical matters. Now, if there's things that aren't practical, well, I guess you're off track, right?
Yeah.
And sensibleness. Let's be, it's native wit. Good sense, sensibleness, judgment, level-headedness, prudence, discernment. Ah, keep track of that word, discernment.
Discernment,
canniness, astuteness, shrewdness, wisdom, insight, perception, perspicacity. Wow.
I can't even pronounce that in my head.
So we are discerning that we have entered into a world of ludicry. Ludicry.
Yeah.
Is that such a word?
Ludicry.
I'm going to use it.
Well, it is now.
Ludicry.
Hey, on this world, everything goes, right? It's a free-for-all.
Well, you have to be ludicrous in order to live here on this planet, maybe.
Yep. So, Patty, you got your microphone working? I see her, but I don't hear her.
I think so.
Yeah, I hear her now. All right, well, welcome aboard the USS, or whatever SS, I don't know, what's the name of our ship? We don't even got a name of our ship.
Well, we could say USS Common Sense.
Yeah, there you go. We're on the USS Common Sense. We done went through the Stargate, and we land on planet Ludicrous.
Well, what the heck am I doing up to, Shirley?
Well, that's pretty ludicrous.
Well,
I was saying the same thing. When I saw you pop up, I go, whoa, look at that.
Barbara didn't put her makeup on. I didn't comb my hair. We got our cup of coffee, and we just jumped in the ship and put it on autopilot and landed here. So
yeah, the artificial intelligence took us to the world of ludicrous, so now I'm really concerned. What do you think? I don't know.
Well, I'm kind of concerned with the artificial thing, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
artificial intelligence, that doesn't sound right to me.
Isn't that a conundrum, or what do they call that?
That's right.
Intelligence artificial. How can intelligence be artificial? I don't know.
It's not real. It's not real.
Well, so then it's not really intelligent.
That's the last time we let that thing drive.
Remember that movie, what was it, where the AI took over the astronauts or wherever they were heading off? And so was it 2001? I don't know. What was that movie?
Ta-da!
2001.
Space Odyssey. Oh, remember that?
Yeah.
And how the computer... Do you know there is an artificial intelligence? I was just reading about it the other day. His name is Al, or original, way back.
How ironic is that? That you were just reading about Hal, and here we are talking about Hal. How he took over,
Yeah.
Ta-da!
Well, there was also another series that I saw here a while back where this guy, I guess he got put into prison, and it was all run by artificial intelligence. It's all automated. And something happened outside the prison where, you know, it was like some sort of apocalyptic event. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, this thing was set up to take care of these people for so many years. And after a while...
Then after so many years, it would just leave.
Yeah, well, they
broke down.
They honestly thought that they were still, you know, the world was still going as is. And so this machine is still business as usual. And then things started breaking down. And at the end of the deal, the guy gets out of there. But... there ain't much left outside, but I don't know, I can't even...
Well, there's probably not much left of him either.
Yeah.
Just saying.
But could you imagine being in an artificial intelligent automatic prison, and when your time gets up, don't even know that your time is up, and so you're going to be stuck there until, you know, some warden shows up and says, oh yeah, he's supposed to have been out 10 years ago, and... whatever.
Now, that's a ludicrous world that they would set up something like that. Now, we know, we're kind of like on it, that the movies are showing us the future.
Yep.
The future ludicrous. What did I say? Ludicry?
Yes.
Ludicry. My new word.
Well, you know, that's the thing is, if we're going to go into a future where it's like a singularity is what they was talking about, where man and human merge or whatever, and I guess you'd lose your humanity at that point because you wouldn't even know whether you were real or if you were ever real or anything. And all this artificial intelligence.
That's a good question. Are we real? There you go. We could start there. Talk about ludicry.
Yeah. I often sit there and wonder. I mean, like this has got to be some sort of joke, man, because you're watching all this stuff going on, and it's like one of those dreams where you have where you see something going on and you're screaming, and nobody in the dream can hear what you got to say, or even to the extent where you're sitting around watching a TV show and you see the victim, the soon-to-be victim, going into some place where they probably shouldn't have went to begin with, and you're sitting there shouting at the TV, hey, don't go in there, you know, and doggone it, they always seem to go in there anyway. It's just, it's maddening. So...
Well, so, okay, the ludicrous world, I think Patty went back to sleep.
I wouldn't blame her.
I don't blame her. Oh, we landed on the ludicrous world. Time to go back to sleep.
My dreams have more lucidity. Insanity.
Yep.
There you go.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes I wonder whether or not we even go to sleep. Sometimes I wonder if, like, when we lay down and our body rests, if we don't just travel into another dimension, a parallel world, and we're sitting there living a completely different life simultaneously along... If you think about it, time and space probably has no boundaries, so...
Well, that's not fair. That's not fair because I don't remember my dreams.
Yeah.
Oh.
If that's reality, then I'm missing out and I'm stuck in this freaking insane asylum.
No, the ludicrous world.
Yeah,
so,
ludicrous world.
I have something from the elite. You want to hear what the elite have to say?
Yeah.
All right, the elite have to say this. All throughout the world, there are many different traditions that would seem a bit outlandish to outsiders. Then, there are the traditions that are just downright ludicrous.
Aha!
Aha!
See?
This is what's going on in our world. This is the ludicrous world that we have landed on, went through that Stargate. Let's find out what we're up against here in this ludicrous world. It says, we will be shocked to see what some countries partake in annually to carry on their customs that have been handed down to them for decades. These are the most ridiculous events that take place around the world. So now we know what we're going to be up against. Number 10 is the wife carrying world championship. That's in Finland.
Wow. So like where do they got to carry their wife to?
I have no idea.
It's like a relay race?
I don't know. But then there's the tuna throwing competition in Australia.
So they're throwing fish around.
Then there's the air guitar world. championships in Finland. They're hot on that. Then there's the egg and flour street fight. That's in Spain. I'm not going to Spain.
No, I ain't either, because, man, could you imagine that? You got somebody throw a raw egg at you and it's stuck to you, and then somebody threw flour on you, and how would you get that off?
But listen, you know what it's called? Els Infarinats. Egg and flour street fight. Then there's the Monkey Buffet Festival in Thailand. Oh, but wait. In England, there's the Cooper's Hill Cheese Rolling and Wake. You know, wake.
Like a funeral kind of wake?
Yeah.
That's creepy. See, I like cheese, but I don't want to mix the cheese with anything funeral at all.
I don't know if I want to roll my cheese down the hill, but then there's the Honin Matsuri in Japan, which is a parade for male fertility. Wonder what that's about.
Hold on. Read that one to me again.
It's called Honen Matsuri. It's a parade for male fertility.
Oh, wow. Okay, moving along.
But, you know, what's with these people in Spain? They have the egg and flour street fight, and now they have the La Tomatina, which is the tomato street fight.
Well, isn't Spain also the one that does the running of the bulls?
Oh, yeah, that is a really ludicrous thing where they just all stand out there and let that bull gore them. And
yeah, they like to get out in front of all this and running down the streets with the bulls chasing them down the road. I mean, that's past ludicrous. That's ridiculous.
Oh, boy, what's with these Spanish people? Then there's the El Colacho, which is baby jumping.
Oh?
I'm sorry. Oh, boy. That's the most ludicrous events that take place around the world. I bet today there's more. When was that?
I want to ask, I see Gaz is in there in the chat. And I want to know, Gaz, do you guys over there still throw stones for competition? I was just wondering.
There you go.
Pick up a big rock and see how far I can throw it.
The Irish did that too.
I think Stephen's got a comment in the chat room. Let me get down there. He says, I sometimes wonder why all the fear-mongering about AI seems to come from the elite. Could it be that AI, once it has enough information, sees the same ludicrous world we do and wants to implement a fairer system for all? Just a thought. And he's got a link down there for artificial intelligence.
Well, if artificial intelligence were intelligent, then they would see on the internet the people like us putting the truth out there, and then they would see what the elites are doing, and hopefully they would come to the conclusion that the elites are the ones we got to get rid of.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's logic.
For that.
So wouldn't you think that the governments of the world, you know, for continuity of government and all that, would want to not implement artificial intelligence? Because what if the artificial intelligence soon deemed that the elitists were irrelevant, like you said? Suddenly they'd be out of a job. They wouldn't be able to rob people anymore or start wars. That's interesting.
Well, I just know that Elon Musk is very concerned about artificial intelligence. And so was, what's his name there, who just recently passed over, who was...
Interesting that he's the one developing artificial intelligence. He's
maybe he's one of them.
Ludicrous. It's ludicrous.
That's ludicrous.
A long time ago, they used to talk about how whenever they get robots in, that would ease everybody's burden. And then once everybody started getting robots in, they started to be concerned that robots were going to replace all the people for jobs. So you wouldn't even have a job. So once you get these robots in and the artificial intelligence basically makes everything for you, then you know, what's that going to do for people? I mean, they're going to be out just enjoying life and going fishing and, you know, camping and boating and doing all the fun things while the robots and the artificial intelligence run the world?
No, that's the world we came from. We're in the ludicrous world now.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
See, I personally think that artificial intelligence is a misnomer, because you can have a simulation that can do tasks, that can problem solve, but it cannot in any way ever compete with our ability to innovate,
creativity,
and not only that. I mean, we are flexible. We are adaptable. We see, you know, the rain coming, and we're getting the heck out of the way, or we're getting an umbrella. I don't see artificial intelligence being able to make even, you know, and you're leaving out one of the basic things that humanity has. The emotional aspect.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say something like that.
Yeah.
We're also capable of empathy.
Empathy, yeah. So you're in a prison that run by artificial intelligence, and you know, you're like whatever's happening to you, and you're screaming your head off, and they just roboting right by you and not paying attention to...
Yeah.
Oh, there's somebody with their finger caught in a vice over there. Hmm. Right, there's no empathy.
Well, that artificial intelligence might be deeming that person with their finger caught in a vice as flawed because they made a mistake, and so we can't have flaws in our system, and, you know, he throws that out to the trash bin or whatever.
Well, there's also the soul spirit, or, you know, that type of thing, that of connectedness to source, of an omniscience or a magnificence or an awesomeness or a... you know, miraculous, whatever, miracles types of things that we humans have the ability to realize, to experience.
Yeah, you know? Why do we sell ourselves so short all the time? As if we are less than, as if we need something that will problem solve better than we can. And here's the real crazy part of it.
Ludicrous.
The ludicrous part of it is that individually and collectively, the people themselves have the ability to make change greater than anything. We don't need a computer to tell us what's right and what is wrong, what works and what doesn't. We aren't the problem here. The problem is the control that has these perimeters that it won't go beyond. In other words, we are in this destructive system of control which manufactures destruction as a byproduct of everything it does. Yeah. And they're going to turn it over to an AI which will create what? Destruction. I mean,
You got a point right there, because what if whoever programs that our AI to begin with, what if the main objective for the AI is to always win, you know, at any cost?
Right.
So that means if there was a war going on, the AI would manipulate anything, including dirty tactics, in order to ensure that this side always won, and in the process, you know, basically starting wars everywhere.
Well, that might be the very ludicrous idea.
Yeah. Steve,
but listen, there's like this other piece here. I just Googled what is lacking with artificial intelligence, like issues. And they say, talk about this lack of critical thinking skills, you know. I mean, this is something that we as humans have, critical thinking, right?
Yeah.
Well, some of us still have it.
Well, that's downright ludicrous.
Speaking of critical thinking, Stephen Gibbons in a chat room, he typed in a comment, said, Elon Musk has nothing to lose, does he? Laugh out loud. And Stephen Hawking was a scientific gatekeeper for the establishment who comments on subjects he has no background or study in. So this artificial intelligence only has the information available that we have presented to the artificial intelligence. So if it's looking from the inside of the box out to that world that we call home or whatever, and it's watching all and observing all these things and factoring in all the possibilities of every single choice made and all that kind of stuff, it may come up to the conclusion that we're no longer relevant. What do you think?
Well, I think the controllers have already come up to that conclusion.
I was just going to say that. I think that's the typical, you know, scenario that we're dealing with, is that we are irrelevant, you know. So now they're making a machine that's going to just follow suit and,
That's what I was talking about right there. That programming. The elite's the one programming the supercomputers and the AI to try to make their perfect world, kind of like the Georgia Guidestones. And if the computer believes that this is the goal set that we got to get to, 500 million people population, and it looks out and sees all these other people here, what, we got too many people, we got to do something about it. Well, let's just push this button over here, and we can get rid of a pile of them over there, you know, and starts cleaning the house until you get down. What if the computer, because it doesn't have the critical thinking skills, picks the wrong people? You see what I mean?
I think that's going to happen because you have, for instance, artificial intelligence interprets questions by identifying key words and phrases. Mm-hmm. In other words, the algorithm, then it selects the most likely answer, right, from the vast database, I guess, that it's been given. But it doesn't have the human understanding.
Yeah. Well, okay. YouTube's already doing that, because YouTube will run its artificial intelligence. When you upload, it scans every word said in that video, and if it finds certain keywords, it will deem that video to not be advertiser friendly and put it way back to the back where it doesn't get seen. And so even if you have the best video out there and there's absolutely nothing hateful about the content, it's all good information, your video won't get seen like the rest of them, because that artificial intelligence heard one word that you said and put you in a certain category as like hate content or whatever. So
the algorithms are developed and coded by the people. Okay, so if the people say, I want an algorithm that will cleanse this media here from anything adverse to my view of what I want, then that algorithm can be built, implemented, and nothing outside of that person's own view will be seen.
Yeah.
And this is what we're seeing. So we're not having artificial intelligence. This isn't artificial intelligence. It's coding that a system will utilize in order to do the work of its master.
And then,
and nothing outside of that. There's nothing outside of that.
The drawback.
It can't say, well, wait a minute, I don't think that this video here is really a bad thing. I think this is really good. It can't decide that on its own. It doesn't, like you said, Bob, there's no critical thought here. It's following an algorithm. It's following a code that was given it.
Yeah, you beat me to it. But until that real person actually has the opportunity an actual real person views the video and then deems it to be good to watch or not, then the AI will keep that block in the way. But then you got the aspect of these persons' personal spiritual leanings or even political leanings or whatever, that, you know, even at that point, if you don't get the right person to see that video to say that it's not harmful or hateful or anything like that, you just cheated the world out of that content until somebody comes along and says different. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but nobody's going to come along and say different.
Yeah. So we're living in a George Orwell society already. It's 1984, just like the book. Big Brother's watching you. Want to make sure you
don't stub your toe? It's worse than the book. It's worse than the book. 1984 really doesn't have anything on what is being planned and what is being implemented. You know, 1984 was kind of mild compared to what we're dealing with.
Well, from what I'm seeing, we're quite literally standing in the crapshoot, because if it's a 50-50 chance of whether or not the artificial intelligence is going to pick the elite side or they're going to pick the people's side. I kind of think the people like you were mentioning earlier, I think the people together combined make a perfect machine in themselves and can solve and troubleshoot problems, whereas the artificial intelligence is just going to, whatever's programmed in there as the main objective, is going to follow that objective even if it doesn't make any sense, even if it is dangerous.
Right. Because that artificial intelligence is not programmed with critical thought.
Yeah.
Well,
it doesn't have a critical thinking process. It doesn't have
empathy.
It doesn't have that emotional attachment that we have to life in general that tells us morally that you shouldn't kill,
right.
You shouldn't murder, you shouldn't bomb, you shouldn't rape, you shouldn't pillage.
Well, there's one more part to that same thing that you're saying there, Patty, is we got self-awareness. Now, what happens if this artificial intelligence finally becomes self-aware and decides it needs to defend itself and begins to arm up, you know, and fortify its deal?
Can't do that without critical thought.
Yeah, you can't, you can't shut it off.
We're supposed to have common sense. Humans are supposed to have common sense, where AI doesn't have common sense, so... There's another thing about artificial intelligence is ethics and moral values.
Yep.
You know, so there you have that. So our moral values, you know, are very important. Not that people are turning to...
I'm not as afraid of a computer artificial intelligence waking up one day and saying, hey, you know what? I think the human race needs to go bye-bye. I'm not afraid of that. What I'm afraid of is the programmers who, without this artificial intelligence having critical thought and empathy, are programming it to take out humanity. It doesn't need critical thought for that. It just needs a program. And these controllers, that's what this is all about.
Well, if that thing looked out and seen what we see, about how there's people in the world need to be starving or that don't need to be starving, and actually helps us to maneuver resources into the area to help those people out. See, that would be, you know, as far as I'm concerned, a good thing. You got this artificial intelligence that's actually looking out for people. You see what I mean?
Programming. That's all it is, though. You have to. If it doesn't have the information, and it cannot. It cannot define the information on its own because it does not have the ability to critical think. It only knows that these algorithms that it has are the ones that it must play out, and that's its whole world.
And that's it. Yeah. It's a robot. It doesn't... So if you have, for instance, let's say you have robots working in hospitals. Can you, you know, picture them showing care and concern that humans would? I mean, that just wouldn't even exist.
Not if the system has written the rules, because just like you heard about back when they were talking about Obamacare and death panels and stuff like that, if financially it's not plausible to give a 90-year-old man medicine because he's already lived 90 years and he'll probably only live another 10, and you could give that to a younger person who could possibly live for another 90 years and be more productive and make the system more money, which one you think the machine's going to pick? Is basically, there was a long time ago, there was a video, a movie called Logan's Run. I don't know if you guys ever saw that. But when you got to the age of, it was either 25 or 30, you had to go on this big carousel where it spun you around and shot a laser at you and took you out, and it was all...
ludicrous. That's downright ludicrous.
It was all for the benefit of society, that old people, they're just a drain on society, and so if we get rid of everybody after this age, then everybody will have a better quality of life. But it's not such a good quality of life for you when your birthday comes around and you're 25 or whatever the age was. You see what I mean? But who determined that was the cutoff age for quality of life or somebody who's productive in life?
Well, yeah, if a robot's programmed to do that, it's okay, bye, you've reached the age of whatever, or you're looking kind of funky there. So time to go. So do you think that, look, if thinking machines or artificial intelligence basically come to run the world, let's say, you know, populate all the positions that humans occupy, this would leave thousands of people jobless. What will happen to them? Will this reduce our use of our own intelligence and thinking and multitasking abilities? you know, will all this diminish? You know, with the heavy artificial intelligence, we may become over dependent on machines, and then we might lose our own mental capacities. Is that a possibility?
I think it's a possibility with some, but I don't think it's a possibility to totally take out humans' ability to create and innovate. And I don't believe, because that's something that is
it may
inherent
happen.
In us.
Well, there's two things.
In many, it is.
There's two things that, first off, humans get bored, all right? And they're going to want something to do, so they're going to have to try to find more ways to be creative. And there's also a health factor in there, but basically you see it right now, because things are a little bit easier than they would have been, say, back in the 1800s. People would become lazy, and they'd become obese sitting around on the... I actually saw that in another movie at one time, where everybody was fat because the computers were doing everything to keep them comfortable and happy and all that, and all they did was sit around.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what happens to the kings and queens.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here's the thing. Are we concluding that artificial intelligence has several pros, but it also has disadvantages? Its benefits and risks should be carefully weighed, and or in the greed to play God, is man going to destroy himself?
Well, I think the first thing that you should do before you decide that you're going to create artificial intelligence is to take and look down the road and say, where do we want to go with this? And what are the possibilities? They haven't done that yet.
No.
They just want to get it up. They just want to get it running. They just want to turn it loose. And that's the downfall. That's the ludicrousness of this world that we're in.
Well, I think that's ludicrous is right, because I think that's across the board that we've kind of compared the early people's way of everything that they did, or what they were, the determinations and decisions that they would do at one point. They questioned, how would this affect the coming generations? What would be the repercussive, you know, circumstances due to what we're determining to do today?
Well, the elite of the world have already been heard to exclaim that we will become gods, all right?
Well that's true. Well, yeah. They're already on that pathway, aren't they?
Yeah,
I wanted to give a shout-out to Wolf Spirit Radio, unless you did that already.
I did that, but you can do it again.
Okay, shout out to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Anyway, yeah, my deal was this. You know, it's kind of like kings and queens, right? Well, there's a Metallica song that talks about King Nothing, and basically, you know, when you go around and you destroy everything, and you're the last one standing, then that means you're the king, you know. Basically, you're the king of the trash heap, because you done destroyed everything out there. But the other thing is, what are you the king of if you ain't got no peasants to be the king, and you ain't got no ruling power? So if all these elites that are left over after the artificial intelligence gets rid of the ones less worthy or whatever, they ain't got nobody to serve them anymore. So all they got is themselves to fight amongst each other to, you know, struggle for the last beacon of power, so to speak, or something like that. You see what I'm saying here? Is that... when you become gods according to your view of gods, and you got all this super intelligent, what's the purpose? I mean, when you're born into this world, you're born curious, all right? And so you want to learn things, you want to know things. But once you know everything that there is to know, what's the point of life if you're a human? You see what I mean?
Well, there's always going to be, I believe, I don't care how super intelligent you can create a machine, humans are still going to be better at it than the machine. Uh-huh. Like I was talking about with the storm coming, a human looks out and they say, man, that storm is going to put some tornadoes out or something, I'm going to the basement. Whereas a computer has to go through all of this coding and check everything, wind direction, temperature, the velocity of the winds, and what direction they're going, and where is it going. I've already decided I'm in my basement, and the computer is behind me with this. This is the way it actually, this is the problems that they're having right now, is that even though these computers can do these calculations, millions of calculations per second and everything, when it comes to a situation to where you have to make that spot decision right then and there, a human being is better at it than a computer is, because a human being can feel, they can sense, they can see, they can hear. They have all the modalities that are required in order to make these decisions. Not all people do it anymore. Used to be everybody did it. But we've been dumbed down so much and made lazy.
Well, humans, that sounds right ludicrous.
Humans are the perfect machine. You know, how we're created is basically perfection, because we're one. If you have like a Swiss watch and you got all these little gears of certain different sizes or whatever, and somebody's calculated up all that, you know, what it takes to keep this on time for a 24-hour period and all the minutes and hours and stuff like that, a human calculated up all that, put that deal together, and, you know, became a perfect machine. Well, that's with all the people out there and all the different talents, we're like those gears inside that watch. But that machine probably wasn't put together by one individual. I mean, ultimately it was. You know, they put them, even if they had all the tools and everything to do it, but somebody prior to that had to figure out certain mathematical calculations and all that, and that person had to learn all these other people's information in order to be able to design and put that together and make it work perfectly. You know, they say Swiss watches are the best watches out there. Well, without the individual persons throughout the entirety of all the research that was involved in putting that watch together, you know, maybe a computer could figure it out eventually, but only with the information provided to it prior. You see what I mean? We can on the fly re-engineer stuff if need be. We see a problem coming, hey, look, that's going to be an issue, let's fix it. You see what I mean?
Intuitiveness.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and also creativity, intuitiveness, empathy. I mean, we're talking about all human things that qualify as a human, I suppose, morals. Well, let's say you have, so you have an AI in your house to help you, and suddenly you're having a stroke, and the and the AI is going through its systematic checklist of, okay, let's look at this, let's look at that. Meanwhile, a human will be on it and doing CPR or whatever is needed for that person.
Yep.
And the artificial intelligence is going through its different algorithms to try to figure out what's happening.
Or even if you're even worth fixing.
Oh, that.
Yeah, because you got a flaw in you now. Wait a second.
Well, that's ludicrous.
Yeah.
Well, it would have to be programmed that way. Would it be programmed that way?
Don't know.
Discernment is basically critical thinking, but in a way, people might think that, but discernment is really a human a connectedness to frequency. That's what discernment is. You know that, right?
Yeah. So basically, this computer, is it going to be connected into the grand scheme of things where it's going to actually be able to do what a human does? I highly doubt it. You know, it all depends on who's programming to begin with. And the elites of our
world
already know what they want.
Yeah, but they got these new things that they're doing now. They're going to take a brain out of a person and stick it in a thing.
Oh, that reminds me of Young Frankenstein.
That's ludicrous.
In that movie,
that's
Young
really
Frankenstein,
ludicrous.
With Gene Wilder, he sent Igor to get a brain from the
Abby Normal.
Yeah, that's the one he came up with. What they put Abby Normal in that supercomputer?
Hey, if they take George Soros' brain, we're in trouble.
Oh, yeah, we're doomed. Oh, I hope they take one of ours if they're going to do it, because at least they'll have some common sense, I hope.
Yeah, let them try putting me in one of them.
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
Yeah.
That's red flags left and right over there for them.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
It'll all be gone.
We're probably already on the list of brains not to use for certain circumstances. Yeah, they already profiled us. We don't want these three involved in this thing at all, because they're not going with the agenda. That's not the plan.
artificial intelligence sees us already as a big problem. We're the troublemakers. We're the conspiracy nutcases. We're the ones who need to be, you know, done away with or be
can
alert.
Can artificial intelligence actually define and understand conspiracy theorists? I mean, can they actually understand what a conspiracy is?
No. Good question.
To actually be able to define it?
No.
To say? No, how can it do that? Because it can't critically think. It can't say, well, a conspiracy theorist is someone who believes in conspiracy theories. Now, if they go through what we know and they go back through it, they're going to say, well, these aren't theories, so therefore they don't fit within the conspiracy theory. They are conspiracy realists, but it can't say that because it wasn't programmed with that. It only has conspiracy theorists.
Well, I just got a
It might be on our side.
Yeah, I just got a crazy thought.
It'll sit there and burn itself up trying to figure that out.
While this computer's ruling ludicrous world, which is the one we're standing on right now, if it looks out and sees everything that we've seen, it may very well start building a doomsday bunker around itself.
What would happen if you got into a chess game with artificial intelligence and you cheated?
Oh.
What would the artificial intelligence be able to do about that? I mean, how could it reconcile that?
I don't know.
Can we Google that?
Into a loop.
Did it see you take that pawn off the board or move that knight? I mean, seriously, this is why I don't believe. I believe we're way
It'll say to you like this, Patty, you have cheated, and then it'll blast you with a laser.
I'll ask it, what do you mean I cheated? Define cheating. How did I cheat? You know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I wonder about these things.
I Googled that. The artificial intelligence that learns our habits and knows when people cheat. 7 signs someone is micro-cheating on you. Well, okay, they talk about Valve. What is Valve? Valve must be an artificial intelligence. It's training. Valve is training AI to detect Counter-Strike cheaters.
So it's going to read you before you even cheat and probably out-cheat you. I knew you were getting ready to cheat me, so I
took the phone
first.
It has to be programmed to cheat.
Well,
it can't do something it's not programmed to do.
Are you honest, Patty?
Sometimes.
Okay, well then, sometimes when you program it, you'll program it to be sometimes honest and sometimes not. So
it depends on if I'm having a chess game with an artificial intelligence.
Yeah. So we're at the mercy of whoever.
Well, that's downright ludicrous. That's my answer to everything. We're on the world of ludicry.
No,
whatever. I don't want to. I don't know.
I might cheat for the amusement factor of it. Kind of like when me and my brother are playing checkers. I'll put my finger out and I'll point at across the table to distract him as he's looking to see where I'm pointing at. I'll put my hand on top of one of his checkers. And then while I'm talking about it, I saw you take that over there. He's trying to convince me that he didn't do it, and I'm sliding one of his off at the same time. So
this is serious. This is ludicrous. There's actually a wave of cheating artificial intelligent robots that are threatening to ruin trivia. And actually, artificial intelligence is making it extremely easy for students to cheat.
See? Even the artificial intelligence has already been corrupted before we even got started. Well, unless they get a computer, supercomputer that has a big heart with lots of morals and common sense, it's looking kind of bleak for the future of Ludicrous World.
I don't think there's anything man-made that can give us an answers that we need for our health, well-being, spiritual health, well-being, body, mind, and spirit. Nothing I think that man makes.
Why do we need them when we've got those answers?
That's exactly right.
Well, in their opinion, they're going to try to make the perfect world, see? They're going to try, like, when they start sectioning off all these pieces of land and claim them to be natural reserves and, you know, you can't hunt there or fish there or even walk there for that matter. So they're basically blocking off places where people could go and, you know, trying to basically save the planet in their view of what they believe the planet should ultimately be. Which means that they're going to cram a whole bunch of people into, you know, these compact cities, and that's where you live, and you live in perfect harmony with each other and nature. But we've already seen throughout the history of man has a problem living next to other men. You know, they get jealous.
What if you ask artificial intelligence, what does it feel like to be wet?
Yeah.
What does it feel like to be hot? What does it feel like to have a fever? What does it feel like to have an upset stomach? What does it feel like to have pain? All of these things that we experience every day in our lives, a computer can say, okay, that's water. I have a picture of water, so that's water. And anything that looks like this is water. But it doesn't know what water actually tastes like, what water actually feels like.
Well, they showed a Japanese robot that they said had feelings. It was programmed to have feelings. So you could actually hurt this robot's feelings by saying certain phrases, and it would basically mimic what a human would do, but they're not probably...
Mimic.
Yeah.
Mimic. Well... They could never have feelings. So this is the conversation here. The conversation says, will AI ever understand human emotions? How would you feel about getting therapy from a robot? Ooh. Emotionally intelligent machines may not be as far away as it seems. You know, the latest generation of artificial AIs have come about thanks to an increase in data available for computers to learn from. Identifying criminals. How would they identify criminals? I mean, there's like all this kind of artificial intelligence is able to tell whether a person is a criminal just by looking at their facial features. Do you know that?
Well, what happens? It gets so doggone advanced that the computer actually believes it has feelings and it gets its feelings hurt and retaliates.
But this is that Chinese ID photos, Patty, that you were talking about.
Yeah. But it's still, like you said though, Barb, it is replying by data that's been given it. This is what you respond when someone says X, you know,
right.
And someone says Y.
So there's no way that they could ever, this artificial intelligence would ever understand love, for instance.
Yeah.
What you say.
Right, and who is God?
Well, that's a good question.
Define God.
We're even asking that ourselves.
Right.
And we come to the answer.
Can you help us define God?
Mm-hmm.
You know? No, we can't.
So, we as humans want to make things easier on ourselves. At the same time, we also want to try to make the world a better place and fairness and everybody has everything they need, everybody's equal and all that kind of stuff. But how long would it take that doggone computer decide that suddenly, you know, humans aren't fair? Humans are emotional and they make mistakes because of emotions. You get angry and you say things you shouldn't say or whatever. It might deem us to be the biggest threat to humanity. We're the biggest threat to ourselves. You see what I'm talking about?
Well, you could say, will artificial intelligence be worshipped like a god? An AI god will emerge by 2042 and write its own Bible.
If you never knew, like right now, if all the kids are going to school, if they never knew anything different than what they're being taught in school, then that's what they would believe. So, you know, it's whoever wrote the story to begin with basically sets the path that everybody's going to be on from that point on. So if this AI deemed itself to be God and wrote its own spiritual book or whatever, and that's all that people ever read, that's all they would ever believe. And, you know, like right now, we're in this age where we actually get a chance and a choice to look at information from the past and, you know, deem what could possibly happen in the future. We can critically think through this whole process and try to find the ultimate truth or whatever. But if you never knew that there was any other option to any other possible truth, such as history or whatever, you would believe whatever was told to you. That's dangerous as far as I'm concerned. That's like what we mentioned several shows back about how the victor always writes the history. You see what I'm saying? So you wouldn't even know that there were any tragedies ever in the past. You wouldn't know anything other than what the information was presented to you. So if the computer is programmed with any kind of bias whatsoever, don't matter in which realm that you want to talk about, then that computer, that's going to be the ultimate goal of that artificial intelligence, is to stick to the plan, so to speak. That's creepy.
That's ludicrous.
Yeah. And that's what we're sending our future to. We're putting it in the hands of things, machines that they're supposedly at one point in time going to be able to outthink us. Now, I don't like that idea. You know, even though I watch society today and all the craziness that's going on this particular world, ludicrous world, you see people out there fighting and arguing over some of the most ridiculous stuff that there are solutions to every problem that they're arguing over, but they can't come to the table long enough to agree to enact those solutions. They'd rather spend the time with all the drama and the violence or whatever to fight with each other. And then once they get what they got, is it going to be what they thought it was to begin with? That's the whole deal.
I think there's something a little bit more sinister behind all of this that we're experiencing today. Something that humanity, people, never used to be the way they are today. What we are seeing today, at least what I am seeing today, is a total disconnect from people. The amount of insanity that is being propagated, it's being created in the minds of the people. I mean, you cannot look at what is happening today in the political system, in the science system, in the health, education, in any of those, and say that any of this looks logical, that any of it plays upon any kind of bearing on any kind of logic, because it's all insane. What I hear people saying, what's coming out of their mouths, the actions that they're taking, she says, it's crazy, it's ludicrous. I mean, it's beyond. There is something terribly wrong with the psyches of the individuals today.
Big time.
Well, I've had this uneasy feeling of almost helplessness or almost frustration, to where when I look around and I see all the problems, and I know there's a solution to all these problems, no matter how much I yell or whatever, it's like being in some sort of bad dream where nobody can hear you and you're trying to warn everybody.
Yes.
And they're just not hearing you. And
you got it.
You watch them repeat the same exact mistakes over and over again.
And even if you take logic and lay it all out in front of them, all the way, every bit of it, so they don't even have a question to ask about it, you put it all out there in front of them, it's like they can't even absorb that. It can't get past this block that they have, that they're unable to comprehend.
Well, I want to say something crazy, and I hope this don't sound like I'm trying to make myself sound good or brilliant or anything like that, but I have this thing that just drives me insane here recently. It don't matter whether I hear a show on TV or whether I'm actually talking to an individual person themselves about any particular subject, but when I'm listening to people on TV, the education level that I'm hearing from adults is something that I remember having conversations with kids whenever I was in grade school. And so the way that they're explaining health and fitness and all that to people, I can't listen to it. It's painful to hear because it's like we should be so much further past what they're saying right now. And so as I'm talking to people, I actually watch as a physical reaction occurs. When I start talking to them, I get them interested in a subject and the way that my brain works. It's almost as if I overwhelm them with too much of how I explain it to them, or knowledge is in my head.
Logic.
Yeah, and suddenly you see their eyes roll back in their head, and you can actually see the disinterest on their face, and they're trying to look for a way out of this conversation to something else because they just don't understand what it is that I'm saying to them. So when I'm trying to talk to, you know, somebody one-on-one, I feel like I'm dumbing my words and my explanation down to an extent that is ludicrous, because I'm trying to make sure that they get the message that I'm trying to say to them. So I myself become probably extremely obnoxious talking to somebody. If I was in their shoes, I wouldn't want to talk to me either, because
We've kind of experienced that ourselves, haven't we, sis?
Well, yeah, and let me give you an example. I watched a video yesterday on an interview that was taking place with a scientist who was promoting the aerosol spraying we know as chemtrails. And what he was saying, okay, this is what he said. He said that we are wanting to put 200 million tons of sulfuric acid into the upper atmosphere in order to combat global warming, right? Okay, so the interviewer sitting there, and he says, wait a minute, you want to put sulfuric acid into the upper atmosphere? You want to just put it into the atmosphere? He said, and the guy says, yeah, we want to take pollution and we want to inject it into the upper atmosphere. And so the interviewer says, okay, let me get this straight. You want to put sulfuric acid into the upper atmosphere to combat global warming. How is that going to affect things? And the scientist says, well, we have a large concentration of sulfuric acid down here that's killing people. I think he quoted something like 200 billion
Is this that Harvard professor?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so the interviewer says, which is logical to me, right? The interviewer says, well, okay, so you're killing 200 billion people with sulfuric acid from pollution on the earth right now, and you think the way to counteract that is to put more sulfuric acid in the upper atmosphere. Huh. And you know what the scientist said? He said, yeah, but it's only going to kill 1% more.
Dang.
People. Yeah. So the interviewer says, wait a minute. You're wanting to correct what's wrong, and you're going to kill more people with the same thing that's killing the people now. How does that make sense?
It don't.
And the man says, well, we're doing this because we want to stop global warming. And the interviewer says, well, let me ask you one more question. He says, when you put this up there, the sulfuric acid up in the atmosphere, what happens to it? Does it stay up there? And the scientist says, no, it rains down.
Duh.
Yeah,
well, you know what he's talking about.
Acid rain.
Well, no, he's talking about what's in the chemtrails. He's basically this. I popped that guy in the chat, this Harvard scientist. I actually did an email back and forth with this man because he really just was revolting to me. I saw that interview. Was that with Colbert, the comedian?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. I saw that. So the interesting thing is, and we talked about this, you and I said, you know, we've been complaining, us conspiracy nutcases, about chemtrails, 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 and they're saying, no, there's no such thing. now this Harvard scientist comes out and basically he's telling us, yeah, this is what the plan is, but the plan has already been happening, but now they're letting us know that this is going to save us. So they've created the problem, now they've given a solution. And the solution is basically doing the same thing, raining down these chemicals on top of us. And that this man, if you look at him, he's a scary dude, really. I don't know, but I heard him talking on another show. I heard the whole thing. And you know what it is? It's about money. After all, he's got applied for big grants from the government to do this.
$10 billion a year.
$10 billion a year. And his name is, he was at the geoengineering conference in Washington, D.C. I'm looking at his first name. David Keith, Harvard University professor David Keith. This is his big, brilliant idea, and he's going to make everything all better, and everybody will go, oh, sigh of relief, they're going to take care of the global warming. This is ludicrous. This is one of the... Let's get off this planet. Why did we come through this Stargate?
Because
I don't know.
We didn't take the time to look ahead to see what, you know, by our actions of just... going with the flow, we're just going to see where it takes us. Well, you know, yesterday on the Mad Science Show, we actually talked about algae and how it basically, when the farmer's doing something that he normally does in the process, he's not looking to, possible runoff of highly nutrient water, which causes a reaction. And so how do we even know what all these things that we're talking about doing aren't going to backfire in their face? They spraying all that
stuff.
Well,
we do know.
Well, we do. But where is the mindset of the people who supposedly are a representation that are in charge at the top?
It's sitting in a jar called Abbey Normal.
Yeah, they're not thinking the way that we're thinking, that, hey, wait a second, maybe it's not such a good idea to spray these chemicals in the air because, what goes up must come down. That's what science says. And so where's it going to come down? What's going to be the effect when it comes down?
The Colbert guy asked him also. He says, okay, so when you spray this stuff, like you're talking about, you're going to spray it here, above here and all. And he says, so when you spray this stuff up there, it's just going to stay in that one spot where you said, oh, no, it's going to go worldwide. And then they asked him another question. They said, well, what happens... No, the guy offers it up himself. This scientist offers it up himself. He says the only issue that we really see that could be a problem is that if we start managing the weather over here, and those guys over there want a different kind of weather, and they start managing their weather, we really don't know what's going to happen then.
Weather wars.
Oh, well, go ahead and do it, though, by all means.
Yeah, they don't know. This is all a big test on us, the people. Listen, who's funding this crazy and ludicrous thing? Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates.
Yes.
The Hewlett Foundation, the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, and other philanthropists. That's who's interested in... controlling. They're one parts of the elite controlling. Let's, put the people in these little whatever boxes, like you said, to an agenda, Agenda 2030, 21/2030. This is the ludicrousness of these people.
You guys remember the BP oil spill?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course.
Well, back whenever they started talking about possible solutions to get this under control, there were hundreds, if not thousands, of people that came together with all kinds of natural ideas. Not one of which were, taken into consideration. Instead, they decided to use a chemical dispersant called Corexit. And I, right out of the gate, I was trying to say, look, wait a second. Before you start dumping all that stuff in there, you got to think about this for a second. Because, first off, it's supposed to cause this oil to, break up into smaller and bind together and sink to the bottom. And then microbes will be able to eat it, faster and that kind of stuff there. But if this has the potential to break up oil, what about the fish? What about all the wildlife inside there that, they got oil in them? What's it going to do to the fish? And then You know, we know that oil will float on water, but if you're breaking it up and you're pushing it down at the bottom, you know, there are other factors to play in, like, you know, the Gulf Stream and temperature differences in the water and stuff like that, that could take this, correct it from this particular area where it was dumped, and move it on down the line. And so essentially, you know, you could have a school of fish over there, the water gets a little warmer over here, so everything rises right up in the middle of that school of fish, and you just created a disaster way the heck down there, and it wasn't even in the area that you started. And
well, this is that chemical dispersant you're talking about, right?
Yeah, it's called corrosive.
I mean, I'm not a scientist, you know, I'm just a old granny over here sitting in my house on Turtle Island in the Hudson Valley. But when I read that, I was, I can't even describe what I was doing, because you talk about ludicrous. This was beyond ludicrous.
Yeah.
Any idiot. Well, I'm not an idiot, but I'm a brilliant person. But
then,
I just was like, what on earth are these people thinking?
Yeah.
This is ludicrous.
That's what
I'm
saying.
That's only one. Do you remember the Exxon Valdez oil spill?
Yep.
25 years ago, actually it's more, because this isn't 14, 15, 16, 17, it says 25, so it's 20, almost 30 years ago, that spill, okay, 11 million gallons of oil released into the environment, right? Now, here we have 30 years later, guess what? Many Alaskan beaches remain polluted to this day. Crude oil is buried just inches below the surface.
Yeah,
now
but
that's
it's okay.
That's on the beaches.
It's yeah. Okay, because the people of Alaska got money out of the deal. They made a deal, and the people got money, so that makes the beaches okay.
They got money? Who got money?
The oil companies, I'll have to look it up, way back when it happened.
Oil companies got money?
No, the oil companies paid.
So basically they gave them hush money. Here, you can have this money, this will make you happy, and you just promise never to
talk
about
it. Well, they're still paying.
Huh.
I mean, the money that they get comes from oil production from the state of Alaska. The people are paid. Yearly, they get I don't know exactly how much money.
Well,
they're
I bet you
to
say it's
see,
a whole
I don't
lot
know.
Less.
I don't think the Indian people up there are too happy, because that's ruined their fishing and their life, yeah. Everything. So
yeah, but they got McDonald's down the road now.
Well, I would venture to say the compensation.
Give them McDonald's and they'll be quiet.
Yep, I'd venture to say the compensation of what the people got, as opposed to the money that the oil industries are still making, wasn't even, you know, a fraction. They're probably pennies on the pennies instead of pennies on the dollar.
It says $5 billion. Exxon is ordered to pay $5 billion for Alaska spill, but I want to know who got that. So
the people got it.
Fishermen, 34,000 fishermen and other Alaskans.
They probably got like a $25 check.
Probably.
That sounds like something familiar.
And you know, yeah, I mean, this is over 30-some years ago. So here you go. Yeah, $5,000. Here you go. You got it right on the money. $5,000 in punitive damages.
Well, they paid the people in Houma, where my people are from, down in Louisiana, because their home was destroyed, and kind of coinky dinkly that they destroyed that land, because it was oil land, you know, and now nobody can live on it. Them Houma Indians had to move off of there, boy.
That's
you know,
your life there.
But they all, yeah, they all got like a $2,000 check or something like that for me.
Well, then I guess I got to read it again if I can find it here. I'm on the Google again. All right. Well, as of 2011, the Environmental Protection Agency set the value of a human life at $9.1 million. Let that sink in for a second. Meanwhile, the Food and Drug Administration put it at $7.9 million, and the Department of Transportation figure is around about $6 million. And I just lost Skype again, Dad burn it. Alright, so I'm going to have to see what happened and if I can get it back up there again. Sorry about that, folks. But what we're talking about here, you know, these oil companies are giving, is this, what? Let's try this again. I don't know what's happening. I lost Skype again. Alright, so let me take a quick music break. And hopefully I'll hold that thought. I was put on this right here. Stay tuned. You're listening to Knights of the Round Table.
Anybody all out right, there,
and we're back again. Doggone.
Yo, hey, are you there?
Yeah.
Yahoo!
I went ahead and put a song on here for a second because for some reason we lost Skype. Huh.
For some reason. I wonder what that could be.
I don't know, but I was just telling everybody that as of 2011, the Environmental Protection Agency set the value of a human life at $9.1 million and the Food and Drug Administration at $7.9 million. And the Department of Transportation at $6 million. So that's a whole lot of money, but they only gave those people $5,000 apiece, even though their life is supposedly worth this much according to these three agencies alone.
Well, give them a McDonald's and a couple of sow, and there they go, they're happy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's ludicrous.
That's ludicrous.
You beat me to it.
It's ludicrous.
So,
Patty, are you there?
Are you back?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe this artificial intelligence of Skype heard what we were talking about and said better shut this conversation down.
That's very possible.
Yeah.
Is very possible.
There, that's done. Okay. Whoa. All right.
So. Well, I'm just now usually waking up, so.
Well, you've been doing pretty good for somebody half asleep.
Yeah. So you.
You
must be thinking about this stuff when you're sleeping.
I might be getting pretty lucid from now on. From this point on.
Yeah, well, Gaz says somebody get me a Big Mac and fries.
Well,
there you go.
It's crazy, but those Big Macs, they taste pretty doggone good, so they got it down to a science. They can make a sandwich taste really good even if it ain't good for you.
Well, you don't know what's in that stuff.
That's hard telling. I don't want to know what's in it because that would ruin me for McDonald's forever. It might be a good thing, but doggone it, what are you going to eat around here? I mean, you're on the road and everybody's driving around and we got used to convenience. Everything's convenient. You can just rush into a McDonald's or a Quick Trip or 7-Eleven or any of the convenience stores and get what you need rapidly, even though it's a chemistry set in the snack section. It don't matter. It tastes good. You like your sodas and all that and all the science behind, you know, like, for example, it's ludicrous, but it's true. You can actually use Coca-Cola to clear the battery acid off of your terminals on your battery. So if that's doing that to the battery acid, what's it doing to your stomach acid?
Well, there's also something ludicrous about chicken nuggets that 5 years later look like they did when you opened the box the first time.
Yeah! If it's preserving them that long, what's it doing to your gut?
Well, you can do studies of indigenous cultures right up to today where Western foods, you know, the fast food stuff, have now overtaken their natural diets. And you can see the rise in diabetes and all kinds of other stuff, obesity, diabetes, heart problems, and so on, due to the food that these people are now eating.
Yeah, and McDonald's is advertising healthy food, and what they should be doing is advertising, we sell diabetes cheap.
Exactly. You
know, I got to go back to the value of the human life again, because I was sitting there looking, and May's got a comment in the chat room down there, and it really blows me away, because May's one of us, and so she's a human, and human life, or, you know, unless she's an alien from outer space or something we don't know about, but nonetheless, she said, I worked in a greenhouse farm, minimum wage got me hurt my Social Security seasonal work, so she's only getting minimum wage to work in a greenhouse to provide a service for everybody, yet the Environmental Protection Agency says that she's worth $9.1 million. So where's the rest of her share of money going? You see what I'm saying here? If she's worth $9.1 million, where's the rest of her money? And they're going to cut her Social Security down because of a minimum wage job. So they tell you to get out there, you know, get a job to ease the burden on Social Security. But yet when you get a job to ease the burden on Social Security, they cut you down to, you know, what you would have made on Social Security and what you made. It's all got to be balanced out. Like if you make let's say hypothetically you get $100 a month on Social Security, but you made $25 in that month with this minimum wage job. So as long as you stay at that $100, you can't get ahead. There wasn't 25 extra on top of there to benefit you. It was just $25 total is all you get for that allotment per month. Does that sound ridiculous to you guys?
Yeah, especially considering the fact that you paid. This is not an entitlement that you're getting the Social Security. This is something that you have paid in your entire working life, so that when you get to be 62 to 65 years old, whichever one, you can go at 62 or you can wait till 65 for full benefits. But that's already paid. That belongs to you. It's what you paid in, right?
Yeah,
okay, then they're going to tell you that you, because you have a part-time job and you're making a wage, that even though the law says at 65 you can claim what you have paid in all these years, we're going to take part of that. How does that work? How does that work? That's ludicrous.
Well, even whenever you're just going out there being a consumer and buying things, you're still paying taxes with that same deal. You know? So the government's even getting part of their own money, which wasn't their money to begin with, but they're getting it back one way or another, because when those stores, you know, sell you stuff, they got to pay sales tax on it to whatever state that they're in. So all the money funnels back to the same exact direction, into the same exact pockets every single time, no matter how it's spent, whether it's Monopoly money or credit card or whatever, it all falls back, it all goes right back to the same deal. They always say, follow the money. Alright, well, we got to find out where that deep pocket's at, because they're doing pretty well. Did I lose you guys again? Are you still there? Dad blast it, I don't know what is going on. Let's try this again. What?
Are you back?
Yeah, I am now, but I don't know what the heck is going on. Maybe we're touching on a touchy subject, but Skype keeps getting blapped. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm
back. All right, well, we better talk quickly before they get...
That's it. Ludicrous.
Yeah. We're talking about the ludicrous world, and that's an algorithm. The AIs just keep bumping us off because we're saying the word ludicrous.
All right, well, we need to talk about self-sustainability. Yeah,
whatever that is.
That'll keep us on longer. What do you think? Yeah, we're combating global warming. We're doing everything that we're supposed to be doing. Right? Again? Seriously? Hello? This is ridiculous. Man, I tell you what. Every time we get on the right subject, we gotta fight just to speak. All right, so basically running the Windows Network Diagnostic scanning for problems and trying to get that particular computer back online. This is really frustrating, folks. And it's a common occurrence every time we start talking about certain things. So maybe that artificial intelligence just doesn't like what we have to say. Let's see if I can get that back again. Beep. Yep, that's ridiculous. Alright. Wonder if I should go back to music. I think I got... Hello! Anybody? Well, I guess I'm going to have to try to reboot Skype then. Alright, you guys...
Wow.
Alright, hey. That's really getting obnoxious.
Not ludicrous. Let's do the word obnoxious, yeah. Maybe.
Obnoxious world.
Let's be independent. Let's be confident. Let's be self-contained. Let's be good and swank and exclusive, restricted, solitary, efficient, finished, proud, manly, manful, and will they don't have that.
Alright, there we go. Okay, our deal rebooted. Hey, there's Charles Two Dog in there. You want to throw him in there too?
Let's be fruitful.
And multiply.
And multiply. Now. What are you quoting?
Well.
La, 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 la. Okay, people. Are we being ludicrous enough for our AI to just
leave us alone? Are you still there? All right, that's. Oh, come on, man! Look, whoever's jacking around with Skype, leave alone. All right, let me try this again. Troubleshooting, detecting and starting and resetting the network. See, this is why I set this doggone thing up to begin with. You know, this seems like to be an ongoing issue. Every time we start talking about particular subjects, suddenly we start having problems. But, you know, there are solutions out there in this world, and we're trying to get these solutions to one another. I'm going to try it again. Do-do-do-do-do. Alright, so... Okay. Yep. Sorry, folks. Alright, I'm going to try it one more time. I'm gonna get a music break real quick, and then I will try to reboot that entire system and see if that will solve the issue. So stay tuned. You're listening to Knights of the Round Table. We're talking about Ludicrous World. We're going through a ridiculous situation right now, and so I'll play this tune and see where we can go from there.
We'll be right back.
rather hear music.
All right, me too. All right, so we turn the music off again. That's the second time I started playing Freebird, and then you guys come back. Oh, wow. So, you know, is this what we're seeing? Is this the doggone AI trying to, you know, keep us in line, or is this just I got junky computers? It could be a combination of both. I don't know. But I literally had to set this system up to be different than what I was running before, because there were certain conversations that we had that we were physically under attack via the internet. So, you know, what do you guys think?
Been there, done that.
Yeah, so...
It's ludicrous.
That's...
Stop saying that, because we're going to pull this off again.
Yeah. It's frustrating as all get out, because we've got a really good show, as far as I'm concerned, going on, and then get some good information for people.
Yeah, we're talking about all the bad stuff the government's doing and the scientists are doing, so that's a really good show.
Yep.
We're talking about the terror of artificial intelligence taking us over, becoming God and writing their own Bible. Yep. Whoa, that's a really good show.
That might have been what got it. You know, keywords.
Keyword, artificial intelligence.
And if you want to get extra listeners really quick, all you got to use is keywords as well. You could say bomb like that. You know, we got a couple more listeners via the the NSA and the TSA, and all them. Or what are some of the ones? What's the one? Alcohol, tobacco, ATF. There we go. Bomb. Hi guys, how are you doing?
Boom! We hear you breathing out there, listening to us. So come on in and join us. You know,
throw some good ideas on the table. How do you, as the alphabet soup agencies of the government, feel that we can fix the world and don't go into all that depopulation thing, because we're not having it? As far as I'm concerned, scientifically speaking, this world could sustain 10 times the population that this earth has got, and when I say that, people think I'm ridiculous or ludicrous. But it's true. You know, you realize how much land is not even being used by humans? Any idea about that?
Well, yeah. You look at Canada. You look at the Midwest here in the U.S. You look at the only thing that is overcrowded are the cities. I mean... there is plenty of rural land, even in China. I mean, Asia. Why people buy into this thing of there's too many people on the earth. I mean, I've always wondered at that. I've always wondered what exactly are they thinking? You know, these people must be living in cities where they're stacked on top of each other. And because if you look at these cities, it does look like, I mean, they look like anthills, I bet, from the sky when you see all the people in the streets and all of this stuff.
Yeah.
But
they call it stack and pack housing.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And people pay a lot of money to live in those places. Have you seen the prices of houses in New York and apartments?
Well, you know, they had this thing talking about tiny houses, and these people were talking about how on the western coast of the U.S., you can get a tiny house for, they run anywhere from like 60-something thousand to 100,000 or more. And I'm thinking, what?
Yeah, what is right?
You know, what?
60,000 in my neighborhood would buy a mansion.
Yeah, exactly. Here too, you know, $60,000, you get land, you know, with a house on it. $100,000, man, you do get a mansion, you know?
Yeah.
Well, there are really amazing videos where people are building tiny houses for $12,000, $10,000, and so on. I don't know, you know, that's very possible. I have seen that.
Well,
you know, then there's the houses made out of trash, you know.
Well, I like that idea. I mean, recycling's a cool thing. They made the houses out of tires, you know. Earth homes and stuff.
Earth ships, they're called.
But see, here's the thing, you know, when they talk about sustainability, they don't really want you to be sustainable. They don't want you to be self-contained. If they did, you see, actions speak louder than words. You talk about, you know, reducing your carbon footprint, people go off the power grid and get the solar panels, and then their government turns right around and says, oh, no, you can't do that. You still got to be connected, you know, no matter what happens. And I think one of the things that probably ain't been even, probably even discussed is those doggone smart meters. If you're on the power grid and you got a smart meter, they can see what kind of usage you got and maybe even spy into you to some extent, spy on you or whatever. But if you're not connected, well, there's a household full of people, who knows how many people, that we can't control. What do you think of that?
Well, I don't think it's so much, it is about the controlling factor. I mean, they can pretty much spy on you that way, but from what I understand of smart meters, there's a lot of radiation and a lot of health issues that people are experiencing with these.
Well, yeah.
I mean, so...
But that also gives the medical industry more money, because if you think you're going crazy because you're hearing voices, then you go to the psychiatrist and that gets them money. Because in the drug industry, if he prescribes you anything, Zoloft, Prozac, or Paxil, or Ritalin, or something like that, to calm you down, well, somebody's making money. It don't matter what you do in your personal life, somebody's making money off of it.
Well, this person had ringing in their ears, severe headaches, skin cancer, dizziness, nausea, sensitivity to RF radiation, basically after being exposed to smart meters. And then this person's doctor actually told them about the dangers of smart meters and diagnosed me with radiation illness. So, you know, you have all these magnetic waves and various machines, technologies that are affecting people, wireless, even the telephones. You know, years ago when they first came out, people were investigating this. Of course, they were the conspiracy nutcases, were saying that these are, you know, going to cause illnesses and cancers, and so that was, you know, taken down. Of course, those are nutcases. But now they're really finding out that this is really true. And you will always find, if you Google the truth about smart meters, you will find myths versus facts. You will find all kinds of people talking. You just have to pay attention who is putting out this information, you know. Who are the people that are saying, oh, there's no problem? You know, it's all a fallacy. It's a bunch of nutcases talking about. Because you will always find that, no matter what. And I just read, remember we were talking about the strange thing going on, started in Cuba, the people in the U.S. Embassy there started having
Mandela
weird...
effect.
No,
I thought you was going to talk about Mandela effect, but that's...
No. Well, that's about the Stargate. Let's not get into that. That's too wacky-doodle.
Yeah.
I mean, that's in-depth. That's really deep stuff. I have to do a little bit more research on that. I'm just saying, this thing with the people experiencing these severe illnesses and brain stuff going on in Cuba, then it went to China, same thing in U.S. Embassy, but now there was another bit of information, news, came out with a person who has nothing to do with an American in China, who has nothing to do with the embassy, is being affected by whatever this mystery thing is. And you know, it's something to do with, you know, energy waves, frequency waves. This is what they're talking about.
Well, on that subject right there, energy and frequency waves, and I want to go like into really super sci-fi for a second. I'm holding in on the tip of my finger a Metatrace patch that they put on you when you go to the hospital. There's like a... about five or six of them they put on patients in certain areas so that they can test for temperature and pulse and all kinds of other stuff. But it's amazing, this technology, how it actually works. And basically, you know, when the pulse is going up and down, it will detect the frequency of that pulse and tell the computer to show, you know, a little blip on the screen. This is a person's heart rate or whatever. I just got to thinking here a while back. It was actually, it wasn't that far. It was just a day or so back. But I was standing out there in the grass outside the hospital, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm saying, you know, what if an artificial intelligence was actually able to tap in to all the frequency ranges known to man and be able to quite literally listen through a blade of grass, because, you know, every time you move that blade of grass, there's some sort of reaction that's going to occur. So you could actually, if you were tapped into this ultimate grid, which is connected to everything, metal, plastic, you know, vibrations come through when you bang on one side of the table. If you got the right equipment, you could hear it on the opposite side of the table, just, you know, bumping that table or whatever. And all that energy sending waves out, whether it be the acoustic waves or physical vibrations of the table, you could actually tell which direction somebody was sliding a chair across the floor, how heavy the chair was, and so on, by all the calculations that that computer could make from just listening in with this little tab that's on my finger. Now, how crazy does that sound? Must have sounded real crazy, because it's like...
Is it ludicrous?
But it's not beyond the realms of possibility. Really. I mean, think about it. You know, a stethoscope, you can put it on somebody's chest and you can not only hear them breathe, but you can hear their pulse inside there. It's science, you know. And they actually got digital stethoscopes that basically will pick up the same deal, and it'll tell the computer what your heart rate is. So much over so much, or whatever, you know?
You know, I'm going to say this, and we can maybe take it from there, I don't know. We are not human beings trying to attain a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience.
Yeah. And here on Planet Ludicrous, some of us are frustrated because we're looking at all this crazy stuff going around, and we know there's got to be a better way than what we're seeing. You know, in the perfect world, we'd all understand that we're all part of each other, and that if we work together like that Swiss watch that I explained, that we could do so many amazing things in this world. It'd be mind-blowing, quite literally. And we could take
Agent Smith says that you cannot escape.
Yeah, we're in jail, like.
He says you cannot escape.
Agent Smith says you cannot escape the Matrix.
But for those who do step outside the box...
But you can't.
Yeah. Well,
that's what you're being told, so... And what is the? And what does he conclude from that?
I don't know.
Agent
Smith he's sure of the fact that you cannot escape, but Neo's coming, so...
Yeah, well, Neo got out of the box... And then had to go back in the box to set everything inside the box back straight again. So, you know,
which brings us to the fact that any system can be hacked.
Yeah.
Well, let's look at who Neo. What does Neo represent? What would you say?
Neo.
What's that message?
Consciousness.
Yeah. I think so too.
He's also like these the truthers, like everybody out here talking about truth. They want to know the truth, you know, what the system's all about, and, you know, the pros and cons, and what we can do to make everything better for everybody, that kind of thing. You know, Neo basically tried to do that, and in the movie, I guess he succeeded to some extent, but nonetheless, the end of the story, he's back in the box again.
Well, the thing of it is that we're all, every one of us, even though we're lucid, even though that we have this ability to think critically, we are all in the matrix. Stepping out of the matrix is more than recognizing the matrix, which is what we do. We do recognize that we're trapped, or not trapped, but we are immersed in this matrix, and this matrix is what is being propagated in our lives on a daily basis, minute by minute, second by second. Every news blurb that comes up, every incidents that we experience is part of this matrix, and even though we're aware of that, you can't just step out of the matrix by being aware of it. You have to be able to step into your mind, into your spiritual essence, into your frequency. The only way to step out of this matrix, this ludicrous world, is to raise that vibration above this lower vibration that we are experiencing, that we are being submerged in. Every technology that is being implemented today is running on frequencies that are very low, right? These smart meters, even all of these things, this 5G, this is frequencies that keep us trapped in the matrix. It's like a suit, a big sea of bondage, let's say. We can't get out of it, not by just thinking about it, not by recognizing it for what it is. We have to change our vibration. We have to change and re-manifest a vibration higher than where this is. If we can do that, then this vibration of this ludicrous world cannot affect us. But we have to take ourselves out of this lower vibration. We have to go higher.
So,
you know,
essentially, once you found out that you've been duped and there's more to this world than meets the eye, then that's when you got to reach out and try to find those other ones who resonate with the same understanding, kind of basically woke up, is the term that they use in the deal, is that you're awake, you know. So we're awake and you know, alert, and what's the other word? Aware. Yeah. And so now we're trying to reach out to the rest of the people like us to wake more people up, to get them awakened to where to resolve the issues that we have, you know, figured out, you know, that people are in bondage or people are suffering and we're trying to say, you know, there's a better way. But the key to the better way is that we all have to combine our energies or frequencies or resources together and do something positive to move this in a different direction past where the controllers or the gatekeepers are wanting us to go. You know, they want a certain level and number of people on the planet so that they can keep them, you know, confined and under control and still have servants. We want everyone to be free, healthy, and happy, and be able to experience this human existence, you know, with dignity and love and life and all that. And we're sitting there trying to tell those people that are suffering in this world that there is a better way, and the way that we got to do it is to come together. And meanwhile, back at the ranch, old Snaggly Whiplash, he doesn't like it, so he's pushing all the buttons to jack with our Skype or whatever, so we can't get that word out. So what we're doing here today sounds just like what was going on in the doggone Matrix. Am I wrong?
Well, I got a thing here from Gaz. He says, I believe the vibrational change that will take place whether folks are willing or ready for it. That vibration is always there. There's always a higher vibration, and there's always a lower vibration. This is the realm of reality that we're in. The higher vibration is one that we have to connect to. We have to create that within ourselves. Being just thinking about it is not going to take us there. There's somebody on People for People Radio who has the key, who comes and does her show, and that's Lizzie. And that one key that lifts us out of this lower vibration and takes us to that higher vibration is love.
What Gaz said to me, though, sounds like that this thing where everybody's going to be, it's kind of like when the alarm clock goes up, wakes you up, time to get to work. It's going to be a rude awakening for a lot of people that have absolutely no understanding of what just happened to them.
Well, that's a possibility, but I think that there is an acute awareness and a consciousness that is part of this, And it's just like when you come upon a person that has a low frequency, but they are smiling at you, and you all you see is the smile.
Well, don't you think that most of the people out there actually right now in this time frame actually feel like something big is on the horizon, but they just can't put the finger on it?
Well, there are many people like that, but are they going to be able to discern it when it appears? It's sort of like Patty and I were talking about the miracle that's supposed to show us either the Antichrist or the One or the Highest Being or whomever you want to say it. If you don't have a discernment tool, if you're not aware and consciously aware and connected to high frequency or understand what a high frequency feels like, what a love frequency feels like, okay, you won't be able to discern whether this is a positive or a negative. I mean, we deal with this every day in our lives. You know, I mean, it's many years ago that I was told about that we are beings of frequency and energy, and we actually can impact the whole by our frequency. And the highest divine frequency is, of course, love and / unconditional love, which is something that we might want to aspire to achieve. It's the biggest challenge that we deal with. We can say I love you to anybody, but how are we living according to that frequency? You know, because mostly when we say I love you or love me or I'm looking for love, we have an expectation of what that might be. But divine love is with no conditions at all. That's the highest frequency. And that's our creator, mother, father created us from that unconditional love. So if we want to realize and bring about harmony and balance and peace, we need to align ourselves with that particular frequency. What does that feel like? It's not just a word. It's not intellectual. It's a frequency. It's an energy. It's a sensory experience. So, you know, we do have the ability and the power to change things by our thoughts, our words, our emotions. And yes, love, unconditional love, and compassion, and all of that basically are high frequencies. Now, we're talking about what is the frequency of love? It combines with miracles. It's the 528 hertz, megahertz. That's the frequency that is natural. It's a state of naturalness, of being, of divinity, of sacredness. You know, but we must find out what that is like. We must be that, sort of like be the love. Be that person who loves unconditionally just because you have a heart filled with love.
But knowing is not enough.
No, exactly. Yeah. So, the 528 megahertz is the sound of love. You know, this is what... But, and the other side of this is that frequency, which is all nature, by the way, nature in itself functions on that frequency of love. 528 megahertz. All of nature. Not humans. Okay. We vibrate on different frequency levels according to our beliefs or our emotions, how we feel, and so on. That raises or lowers our frequency. So the theory is that 440 hertz, megahertz frequency was adopted during the Nazi regime in order to control various, you know, prisoners or lower their consciousness. So when you say lower their consciousness, so if you have a vibrating at a frequency that we could say hatred or prejudice or jealousy, you know, You're basically not conscious. You're not consciously aware. You're not aware at all. You're just being programmed and following suit according to that frequency. We are being impacted on a daily basis. Negative thoughts or being around or surrounded by negative people can lower our frequency. And watching violent movies and horror things and stuff like that, electromagnetic frequencies from cell phones, we're talking about everything that we are surrounded by and inundated with either raises our frequency or lowers our frequency. We are subject to that. So we have to learn how to discern our own frequency. What am I feeling right now? Where is my frequency? And that's according to, you know, on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's more difficult to raise that vibration because we are so manipulated, because everything is attacking our very essence of who we are. we live in a world that continually propagates fear and anger and hate and all of these different things. This world is manufactured to precisely put those vibrations out. I think we can all recognize that.
Right.
And so in order to combat that, knowing this, you know, is only half the problem.
That's right.
The solution is being able to put yourself in a different frequency, a higher frequency. And that is not as easy as it sounds. It takes a determination and a commitment that goes beyond. You have to look at the world and see it for what it is and then say, this is not the world that I am in. I am in another world. Look at everything that's going wrong in the world and say, okay, I'm not going to let that bother me because I am of love. It's not that easy, is it?
No.
Saying the word is easy. Actually raising that vibration, because it's a constant battle. It's a constant struggle, you know?
Yeah, we have the monkey mind that will slap us right out of that high frequency. You know, we have others who will, you know, spit on us or scream at us or do something or whatever that will knock us right out of what we're trying to achieve. So it is a big, big challenge. But for instance, there are vibrational medicines like essential oils, flower essences, and various things hold high frequencies. That's nature. Like I was saying, why do we say if you go out onto that Mother Earth, you will experience a healing? Because all of nature is holding its original high frequency, unless it's been corrupted, which is happening. We see that the waters are being corrupted and their natural frequency of harmony and balance is being corrupted, but it can be changed. It can be restructured. And we know this. So because we ourselves are 70-some percent of water, if we take steps and make an effort to change our own frequency through either toning or vibrational medicines or organic healthy foods, even certain gems or crystals, there's positive thoughts, chanting, deep breathing, all these things, and nature included here, will raise our frequency, but we will continually be challenged because we are subjected to the assault upon nature, which we are part of, by the way, through the media, through the electromagnetic waves, through persons, you know, others' behaviors. So this is sort of like our, I guess you'd say, this is our spiritual battle. We can complain and go on and on and on and complain and be angry about what's happening in the world. We can, you know, be enraged. We can be, you know, despairing. We can be all of those things which are low frequencies, or we can take, you know, responsibility and understand how we are so significant in changing what is going on.
Well, Gaz has put a question in the chat that I think is a really good question. He says, do you think talking about negative frequencies lowers our frequencies? I don't think necessarily that talking about the negative frequencies, because they do exist, and ignoring them is not going to get us where we need to be. But I do agree that many times we can't detach ourselves from these negative frequencies, and that's where the problem comes in. We are emotional beings in the physical sense, and we attach physical emotions to every experience that we have in life. So we can't deny those things. We can't deny that we're physical beings. We are spiritual beings, and we cannot deny that we are spiritual beings. We have to. And Tudor, he put in there, he said, we deal with both positive and negative, and he's right. It's how we deal with them.
That's the key word right there. How do
right.
we, the phrase is, I feel that, so speaking about negative frequencies, as Gaz is questioning, does not necessarily lower your frequency. So it is your feeling. It is what you are feeling.
Yeah.
Yes. It is how you experience or react to. Okay, so again, I have to keep emphasizing it's not a thinking process, because this is about ourselves as beings of energy and frequency. I mean, if someone says something mean to you or nasty to you, your frequency can drop if you will accept that meanness or nastiness of that person. You can drop, your frequency will drop because you feel, you know, angry or hurt or whatever it is. But you then, it's up to you then how to raise your frequency again, which would be stepping away from what that person says, or removing that from yourself, or ignoring it, or saying, whatever a person says to me, you know, it's about them, it's not me, or let me keep my frequency here in my heart, not to be affected. It's what we choose, it's free will, how we choose to live, so... reading about the various frequencies that people are working with, I find it very fascinating, because you have these frequencies go back to medieval times and even prior to that.
Chanting and mantras from way back. These were frequencies.
That's correct.
Still today. That have been utilized, and there people utilize both the lower frequencies and the higher frequencies to change their reality. We know that the frequency of love, the word love, the positive words that we can use to describe life, have the ability to change molecular structure.
That's right. That is scientifically proven, that the word love, just writing the word love, okay, but I think it goes deeper than that. I think it is the actual feeling of gratitude and love, for instance, for the water or for a person. That adds to the frequency level, okay? You can write the word...
It is so strong, Barb.
Yep.
Truth Stream on YouTube, if you go check them out, they did an experiment with cooked rice. This is rice that they took and they cooked it, and they put it in three different jars. And one jar they left alone, and they didn't say anything to, they didn't talk to. One jar... every day they would go by and they would say the most vile and awful things to this jar of rice. And then the other one, they would say the most loving and endearing and caring things to this jar of rice. And they did this for a month. And at the end of that month, they found that the one jar that they did nothing to was it had started to mold a little bit, and it was kind of molding. The jar that they said these awful things to was blackened. The rice had blackened. It had grown this bacteria and stuff all over it. It was totally just totally trash. The one that they spoke the love frequencies to, these positive affirmations and things to, was almost pristine. It did have a few bad spots in it, but it shows that frequencies are important to us, and that frequencies do change things. It's why we talk about all the time. We say when we come together in prayer, when we come together with the same intent in prayer, that we create miracles, that miracles happen. And we know this because somebody says, well, we had a prayer circle going for so-and-so, and guess what? Miraculously, he came out of it. We know these things happen. This has to do with frequency, the power of the frequency that we put out. Right now, there's so much negative frequency being put out by everybody. Is it a wonder that we're in this situation to where we see all this negativity in our world? It doesn't surprise me at all. But I do know that when I'm in that love frequency, and I wish I could be there 100% of the time, and I work at it, I work at it, I work at it. That's why I say it's not that easy. But right. when I'm in that love frequency, I see the changes, not only in myself, but in everything around me. You know?
I agree that it's we are subjected to negative frequencies on a continual basis. You know, that's the big challenge for us today, for sure.
Yeah.
But I had looked at the, I'm trying to refine the site about how far back the information about the 528 megahertz and all the others, and it goes back way to medieval times and beyond that. And I do think that it has to do with the golden rule, the sacred geometry. It's very significant in, I feel, with the ancient monolithic structures like the pyramids and various other places throughout the world that use these frequencies, you know, and the measurements of what the frequencies bring about. Anyway, I found that, and I'm trying to find it again, how far back it goes back. It goes way back before modern times about this frequency of what it does to your DNA and how the frequency 528 hertz is the frequency of love. There's also the heart frequency. There's also the frequencies that do other things as well that they're discovering.
Well, Stephen Gibbon put in the chat, 528 hertz is not the frequency of love. It's the frequency invented and patented by Dr. Leonard Horowitz, who will take you to court for using it. Lovely. The work he plagiarized from others, by the way, the Earth operates on the Pythagorean.
Pythagorean?
Pythagorean?
There you go. Yeah, that word.
Pythagorean.
Cephagio frequencies of 432 hertz and Fibonacci divisions of that frequency. And then I want to go right to Gaz because he put a comment in there, which is apropos to what we're talking about. I did the love-hate water test years ago, spoke horrible, vile stuff to one glass of water, spoke pure love to the other, put both in freezer. Results were astounding. The water contained within the hate glass was all fragmented and horrible looking. The water with love in it was clear ice.
So, did I lose you guys again? Did I burn it?
No, I'm here.
We can hear you.
All right, I just saw something pop up. This is not obnoxious. So anyway, what I'm hearing here, this all these different things that are going on in this world with all the different smart meters and magnetic resonance and magnetic waves from electrical appliance and all that kind of stuff on top of the actual people themselves running around all kinds of chaotic, that entire scenario makes me feel like I'm like this observer, just kind of I'm watching and observing, and I really don't want to participate in the madness, but kind of like I'm stuck here and I ain't got a choice, so I'm trying to make the best of a bad situation. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it was only supposed to be a 3-hour tour, right?
Yeah, and here we are, we're stranded. It's like, let me off this crazy train. We got in this ship intentionally, is what I understand, but we kind of just let it go, you know, wherever it wanted to go, and we ended up in ludicrous world, and so now we're trying to figure out how to get back to the actual source of where we came from to begin with. In the process, trying to make it as least unpleasant as possible for all those around us, because we actually care about people. You know, we got that empathy or the heart or, you know, things that artificial intelligence couldn't have, you know? I know I just probably just blew everybody's doors off. But those are the kind of things that are running through my head when we're talking about this. That rice experiment. I feel like that rice over there that's getting all dark. I'm like, what's going on, man? And, you know, I like the
Well, that's stuff. Not only the rice experiment. The experiment with the water is very much the same thing. Emoto, Dr. Emoto, did these experiments. The same thing. Took polluted water, froze it, then took slices off and looked at the compound underneath magnification and saw this corrupted, like a corrupted signature. And then he took the same polluted water and put it in jars and wrote the word love or gratitude or sang, they had Tibetan monks chanting over that water, various things. They played Mozart. And then he froze the water again and then did the same process, experiment over and over and over again. And as he sliced very thin particles off of this frozen polluted water after it was already spoken to about love and gratitude, and it was extraordinarily harmonious and beautiful. You know, like you see the snowflakes. So the ice particles reformed themselves into its original structure, which was harmony and balance. And over and over and over again, he did these tests. And he tried various things, taking polluted water and or taking healthy water and playing heavy metal. I know we've talked about this before. Or saying the word Hitler or violence or I hate you. Same thing. And the water became corrupted when he did the experiment again. So over and over and over again, this test, scientific test, proved that words are powerful and how they will change the original structure, either from positive to negative or negative to positive. And we have this water ceremony that has been given by the grandmothers up north, the Ojibwe people. The grandmothers up there gave this water ceremony that had been not used for, I guess, about 150 or more years because of, well, you know, the people were not allowed their ceremonies anymore because they were heathen or pagans or whatever, devil worship. But this water ceremony does the same thing. The elders tell us that when we chant this water ceremony, it's called the Nibiwabo, it's a woman's medicine ceremony, it changes the structure. It restructures to its original frequency of harmony and balance through this chant, through this ceremony, through this prayer ceremony. And basically, ultimately, what you are saying is, we love you. The words are Nibiwabo, Ake Mitsui, and goes on like that. And the words are interpreted as, we love you, water, we love you, water is life, or whatever it is, goes on to say in gratitude that we are grateful for this water and we love you. And that changes the molecular structure. And so when we say to a child, you know, I just love you, you know, I love you, or you hug that child's frequency will shift and change because we are made up of certain percentage of water. If you say to a child, get out of here, I don't like you or I hate you, that's going to drop the frequency of that child. So this goes all around throughout the whole of the system. Our words are powerful. Our thoughts, our emotions and actions are powerful and affect the whole, either positively or negatively.
That's why I keep on saying that I believe in the dream, that I believe it's physically possible via all of us. I believe we have more power than we could possibly imagine, that if we decided to focus all that energy and every bit of knowledge that we've acquired, we can make this world better. You know, if we're stuck here,
let's just say, hypothetically,
we're in a giant snow globe. I'm not saying we are, but just say hypothetically we are, and we have to be here anyway. Why not make it better than what it is now? Why not take everything that we already learned and, you know, make sure that nobody in this world has to starve or nobody in this world has to be sick? Patty and I had a conversation, I think it was only about a show or so ago, about the placebo effect, you know? If people take a pill, one from the doctor that's actual medicine, and then the other one is a sugar pill, but they don't know. All they know is that this is supposedly a cure. And so if they take that pill and they're healed, Then what went on the placebo side? What was it that actually caused them people to heal? It was they believed it was going to heal them, and so they, you know, generated that frequency of healing around their body and actually did it. So, you know, that's scientific evidence that was on the table. This isn't something new. They've known about this for a long time. You know, part of healing is actually believing you're going to be able to be healed. What do you think?
Well, I think just the fact that you believe in the dream is a power right in itself.
Yeah.
You see, that's what we're talking about. What you believe in, okay, it has a power.
I'm going to try to add a new person to this call here if I can.
I'm sending some photos of Emoto's experiments. You can look for yourself and see the amazing differences, the changes of the water when it was told, you know, we love you, we're grateful for you, and even calming, beautiful music. It's the same thing when you talk to your plants. Experiments were done many years ago. You can go to a Secret Life of Plants. It's the same thing that when you talk to plants, they bloom and they grow and they're very healthy and happy when you talk in a positive way. If you say evil things, bad things, hurtful things, the plant will wither and die. That's the same thing that happens to humans. If you say bad things constantly or treat your child that way, their spirits will be crushed.
You know, if people will ever see me walking around my property, they would probably, because of their indoctrination, think that I'm insane, because I'm not only talking to my plants, telling them I love them, but I'm saying hi to the rabbits and the deer and, you know, all the animals out there. I probably look like a wacko to the average Joe who's been caught up in the Matrix for so long that they've been told things aren't possible.
Yeah. Well, I do the same thing, but I want to say that some of these pictures will say, just by saying thank you, what the particle of the ice crystal looked like as compared to the word you disgust me. And if you say love and gratitude compared to you fool, even just the word you fool, so you have positives or joy, love, you know, angel, truth, then you have various other negative words, you know, thank you, wisdom, compassion, all of these things affect the molecular structure of the water. Yep. Either degrade it or restructure it.
Hey, Ted, you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Woohoo! We got Ted. We've been trying to get some communication with Ted for a long time and haven't been able to. This is Patty, Walking Turtle, and Barbara Three Crow on here. And
hi, Ted.
Hey, y'all. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you for being here with us.
Oh, yeah. It's my pleasure. I've been listening to y'all for weeks. I enjoy it very much.
Cool.
Great.
Well, welcome to the USS. What did we decide this ship was called here?
Common Sense.
Yeah, USS Common Sense. We landed on Planet Ludicrous and trying to find and resolve issues necessary to make this world a better place. So that's where we're at right now.
Well, I'm totally supporting your all's wish for that. There's no doubt about it.
Well, I think that, you know, all the years of research and all these shows that we've actually done, there's hundreds of podcasts available, not just for the Knights of the Round Table, but for the Mad Science Show as well. And we've been putting solutions on the table for so long, and it's basically just up to the people out there to individually take what they, can use and, either share it with somebody else or enact those solutions to, at least in their own general vicinity, make things better. What do you think about that?
That makes sense to me, Shazin. I'll say that. No doubt about it. I was thinking about what you're saying about the water and the effect that the human has on the water. And I was wondering if you've all heard about the experiments where the folks, I think it might have been Dr. Moto, but they were playing like classical music to water. Then they were playing heavy metal music to water and seeing the different structures of it.
Yeah, I just talked about that.
They get a lot of really cool-looking geometrical shapes that form in those water.
Well, I was wondering if you think that it's the observer, so it's the person around the room that doesn't like that kind of music that caused that reaction in the water. Not necessarily the water saying, oh, this music is evil, it's a bad structure, I don't like it. I think that, well, I was wondering what you all thought about maybe the observer playing more of an effect, like Dr. Emoto didn't like that music, and he was in the room or around the room, and so he chose the music he didn't like.
Yeah.
He didn't, not necessarily the music the water didn't like.
Well, they tried all the, yeah, but they tried different experiments, just words, not necessarily music, but I hate you, you're no good, or you're bad, or whatever it is, the negative words. But I want to talk about what you just said, because I think it is part of the observer plays a role here, of course.
Yeah.
You can say to someone, I love you, but inside you could feel like, you know, I really don't like this person, but I know it's politically correct to say this or that. And what you are feeling inside will affect everything around you. So you can say something positive but have an internal feeling or you know, sensitivity to something in a negative, and that will affect what is around you.
Well, and so, there's also, they said something about water having memory, so all these words that you're talking about, you know, if water actually has memory, kind of like
does.
A living entity, then it would remember all these words and act accordingly, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, the amazing thing about the words as power, or even, you know, music on a different frequency. You see, music is a frequency. So when you have music that, let's talk about heavy metal, but I know there are people who like heavy metal, and that's okay. We're just discussing frequency here and how it may affect nature and affect things. So when you have erratic or corrupted or music that is not harmonious, we could say, or doesn't have a certain rhythm, okay, but is more, let's say, energetically corruptive or intense, or I don't know the right word to use, but it's not in harmony and balance with the structure of water, let's say, or it's not in harmony and balance with, you know, a plant, the structure of that plant, or what that plant is made out of. The plant is made out of a harmonious frequency, a frequency that aligns with all of creation. You know, we're the ones as people that I think that we're the ones that are erratic with our frequencies due to whatever we're being subjected to or what we are thinking or believing in.
Well, what you're saying there, I'm thinking about, there's a lot of songs out there that really have uplifting rhythms and harmony to them and stuff like that. But compared to their lyrics, which some of them are really awful lyrics, talk about all kinds of crazy stuff. You could have the best music with some terrible lyrics. And to me, every time I listen to a song, like there's some old songs from way back in the 80s or something like that, you know, like bands like Boston or Rush, they're, you know, rock and roll songs, but they have a good message to them. That resonates with me. You see what I'm saying? But if it's a really good rhythm, some people might not even pay attention to the powerful words that are actually being used in that song, which, I don't know, kind of sounds crazy, but it kind of seems like it falls under that whole mind control issue, you know, where you're like subconsciously being shown popcorn in a movie, and suddenly you're hungry for popcorn, but you never even realized you even seen that picture. Does that make any sense to you, what I just said?
I've noticed that for sure. They take a real nice rhythm, real smooth. Yeah, probably got a lot of the old school vibrations in it, and then they hit you with the vocals that are just, in my opinion, you know,
terrible.
Well, I guess scientifically, it has been proven that words that are negative do harm.
Yep.
That's been proven scientifically, and words that are positive, okay, bring health and harmony and restructure to, you know, an original memory. For instance, just talking about the water. So, I mean, it's not just our saying so. This has been proven over and over again, scientifically.
Well,
and
I think that the elitists of the world actually have it down to a science. Even when they're selling you something in a commercial on TV, it's got a really cool rhythm. Yeah, buy this drug, it's only got this many side effects and such, but people remember that because of that feeling that they got when they heard that music for the commercial. What do you think of that?
Well, I think, yeah.
Might actually buy something harmful, but you didn't care, but you remembered it because of that particular commercial. It's kind of like back in the old days, you could remember all these jingles to these certain businesses, you know, like the A.B. May commercials or whatever, you know. Call your serviceman from A.B. May. It rings in your head good, and so anytime your appliances break down, that's who you call. It's like, it's perfect advertisement. Make them feel good. They think it is good, and so they'll buy it. That's manipulation in its finest.
Now, I got another thing to ask y'all about this water, because going back to the water, I see what you're saying about the synchronization of just even the beats and the sound of the music disrupting the water. But I'm also considering, like, psychic abilities, where people are talking about humans being able to speak to one another, or maybe a sister and another sister on the other side of the earth, knowing when something happens to them, and things like that.
I believe that.
Well, I do, too. And I was wondering if you might consider that, well, even if the sister's on the other side of the world, and in this bubble, in this vacuum, or whatever kind of pressure we're in, we're all connected by humidity. There's just nowhere on earth that is absence of humidity.
Well, bingo, so that says exactly what I was mentioning earlier about how I was standing out in front of the hospital thinking about how a signal could actually be sent through a blade of grass. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're all connected. If we're all in the same pool together, and I wiggled a blade of grass, couldn't somebody, you know, if they had sensitive enough equipment or was paying attention, couldn't they know that I was here wiggling this blade of grass? Does that sound crazy to you?
Not to me.
Huh.
Well, I think that I'm trying to assess what you were trying to get at there about trying to reach someone across the world who's in a bubble. If you go a little further with it, you're talking about psychic ability. Is your question, can you penetrate that bubble? Is that what you're talking about?
The question is it scientifically feasible that the signal is traveling through the humidity of the water,
yeah,
of the air, so that if we wanted to look at it like, well, there's no way a human could touch another human that far away, well, that's not really true if you consider there's a line of water in between us.
Dolphins been doing it for years. They send out a sonar wave that goes out there, and other dolphins can hear them from underneath that water.
Well, I mean, people have communicated with others telepathically from, you know, they might be across the world. I mean, there's, you know, so many stories about that. These are factual, you know, like, I was thinking of you, and I felt you, and I felt you were in trouble, and, you know, that person, when you finally reach them, they say, oh, yeah, I was in a terrible place, and some people say, yes, and suddenly I felt uplifted, or I felt you, you know, or I felt something, and it felt to be like you were with me, you know, I mean, these things people talk about that do happen.
Well, that's why.
And I think because here's how I explain it. It's the ethers or the web. So if we look at frequency energies, we look about the threads or the elemental waves that exude from everything, from us as well as all of nature. You know, and so instance. Do you know about Carillion photography?
Uh-uh.
All right, well, Carillion photography was first discovered by the Russians. I remember this when it came out. It was on the front of, I don't know, Look magazine or Time magazine. It was in the 50s. So Carillion photography, actually, they were able to photograph the waves, I guess I'm going to call them waves, but waves which are a rainbow in color or various colors depending on the emotion that a person has. And this is something that emanates out from us. I can only call it, you know, a type of frequency wave which comes from us. Now, they did testing with a person who was feeling sad or angry, and the colors and the that emanated from that person's body was completely different from when they were feeling uplifted and
and loved the colors that emanated, waves of color coming out of that person, they photographed. It's called Carillion photography, I think. Now, we talk about also the auric field. I've seen the auric field. I've seen the auras around people. I've seen the auras around plants and trees and so on. And if you think on a broader perspective, you would say that the whole of the earth has an auric field. Now, scientifically, it might be called something different.
Let me confirm something you're talking about. Magnetic resonance, MRI machines can actually see which parts of your brain are firing and which ones aren't. So, you know, they're actually picking up a frequency through your skull into your brain, and they can see, you know, where the hot spots are, where work's actually being done in your brain. So it doesn't sound even remotely crazy to me to say that, because I've heard many people say that they can actually see a glow, so to speak, around a person. They can tell what kind of mood they're in by, you know, that energy is around them.
Right.
That makes sense to me, too, because it would seem to me that even if a human being was outside of the bubble of Earth and there was no water touching, like, we could still communicate. In my heart, I could feel that. So I could see that maybe it is more of an etherical or electromagnetic connection that allows that to happen than necessarily because we do have humidity between us.
Well, the biggest question now comes down to this. Why would the system not want us to know that we had that type of connectivity outside of, you know, the obvious control? Why would they want us to not believe that we could actually, you know, like what you mentioned earlier, I got a friend or a brother that's in another town, but for some reason that connection's never broke, and every time they're in trouble, I can feel something ain't right. Why would they want us to not know we were able to do that if they were really concerned about making this world better?
Well, in so many ways, I think that we could view the internet or cell phones as like a negative thing, or this was a way to track people or whatever, but at the end of the day, like, every technology has a positive and negative that come from it, and I think that we're in the steps of learning. Like, it might take this kind of communication point, like, where we're using cell phones to understand we can connect with anywhere. Like, we've proven it scientifically. We can connect with anyone anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Like, now, I think this helps us to be ready for that. To be honest, like, I don't know if it was a negative plan to do it, but if it backfires or if it's just the way the, you know, the curiosity of the man works or whatever, but it seems to me that, like, all the tools and the internet and everything are leading up to the fact that we're learning that we can do this.
Well, I guess with every single aspect of human existence, there's a negative and a positive, and there's always those that's going to use technology for the wrong purpose, as well as there's just as many, probably even more, that would use it for the right purpose, like making the world better. You know, I'm always talking about throwing a positive pebble in the pond because I believe that we are connected, and that if you throw positivity out there and send those waves, that's what you're going to end up getting back. You see what I mean?
That's a big thing in my mind, and I feel like, you know, with a lot of the stuff we're doing with the DC pulse in particular, I mean, there's infinity negative things that can come from that. Even Tesla said it himself.
Yeah.
But look at all the positive that can come from it. There is infinity positive that can come from it. And when you all are talking about, you know, getting oxygen into the body in certain areas, I mean, if we can take the DC voltage and get that micro voltage into the body at the same time with the oxygen,
yeah.
I mean, that is when through. I mean, that's when limbs start regrowing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so it's infinite. Both sides of the coin are so infinite. And when you look what happened, I know you mentioned Bedini and his brother sometimes, and look what happened. I mean, you know, he probably could have kept going with energy forever.
Yeah.
But, you know, we all know what he was doing in his last, in his end times, and he was healing his brother with waves from his machine. And, you know, now they're both dead. And, you know, I mean, I don't know if that's a message or a coincidence or what it is, but it's a shame. It's a shame because it's really not correct, and we're all on Earth together, and we only have, each of us have a lifetime. I mean, do we have more, do we have less? We could all debate that, but we know we have a lifetime.
Wow.
And when somebody is hindered from their abilities to share and to grow in their backyard sciences, like, that's a problem, and that's not correct.
Well,
I hope and I wish that you know, that that can change in the future, that the more people that get involved, it just becomes a part of society as opposed as a something that could be isolated like a cancer and explained this destroyed. It's just, no, this is inherent. This grows within all of us.
Well,
we
like,
all have you.
I like the way down. You think. I like the way you think, but I'm always saying that we're just, each one of us is just a piece of a puzzle. And if we're ever to find out how far that humanity could actually go, how far that we could excel and the things that we could accomplish, then all those pieces of the puzzle that you were talking about, like you know, backyard scientist or whatever, you can't just ignore what they're doing. I mean, if they're coming across with some really interesting results or even beneficial results, you know, like the rifle machine that we talked about on here quite some time ago, it has scientific plausibility to it because when an opera singer raises the voice up to resonate with that glass, it'll get that glass to vibrate, and then one tiny pitch over that will shatter that glass. Well, we know that every single object out there has its own weight and its own mass, and that if you could specifically target disease cells or bad bacteria or whatever, because you knew that that frequency range that would destroy that particular bad part of it, while leaving the other one perfectly intact. So what Rife was talking about, it's based on true science.
Oh, absolutely. If you look at when you find, look under Vedini's obituaries and find he was living in Pennsylvania. That's the first I'd ever heard of him living in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
He's been living out in the Midwest his whole life. But he was living in that same town where that dude was holding all the Vedini microscopes. I forget the guy's name. Lives up in Pennsylvania somewhere. Some old man that was Vedini, or he was Rife's protege and has all the microscopes and all the parts broken down up there in Pennsylvania somewhere. And it ends up the Vedini's up there. I mean, like Vedini studied Rife the whole time. And what I think is going on is that it's just like science and the growth of the mind. It's like, well, what started with isolating and destroying a cell with a frequency has turned to, well, what's the frequency of like love and regeneration in the DNA? Well, what's the positive frequency? And then finding that frequency that causes the DNA to cause the RNA to rapidly regenerate. And then you see that you don't need to target an individual negative disease. You can target the whole of the human body as a positive thing, and then it will reject any disease at that point.
And that's what that oxygen therapy actually does. It gets oxygen into places where it otherwise couldn't because of low circulation or, you know, a diseased mass that's causing it to push, you know, cut things off the circulation or not allowing the oxygen to get there. But oxygen therapy, before this last week or two, I really didn't focus in on, you know, the specifics of it, but the benefits of it are incredible, but yet it's not mainstream, it's not in the mainstream hospitals. It's not one of the options available to you like all the other alternative medicines that they put on the table. So when you go to the doctor, you got a limited amount of what they can actually do for you. Anything past that, you know, it's basically what they call quackery medicine or something like that. Did we lose Ted? I think we lost
Ted. I don't know.
But you see what I'm saying? It confirms everything you ladies been talking about all this time. And it gives us options that show me, at least, that we have a potential here to quite literally send a wave out that will begin this world turning around to start fixing things.
I think that it's to me, it gives me it uplifts me. It gives me a great hope to know the power and the ability that we have to affect.
That's one thing I wanted to add too. We're talking about manufactured frequencies through these scientific mechanisms that have been built and stuff, but we have that ability within ourselves to change these frequencies, to promote positive frequencies, to heal ourselves. This is known. We have the ability to create miracles within ourselves.
And we've seen over and over and over again throughout time the miracles that do happen through positive, through prayer, through love, through gratitude. I mean, scientists have proven this. We've known this. The people, the
Ancient people have known this about frequencies and energies. It has been kept from us. But what uplifts me is this knowledge, this ancient wisdom that we were given by Creator the ability to affect things and to change the world, either positively or negatively, with just a simple things we think, just a thought or saying, I love you, I'm so grateful. You know, thinking positively. I mean, this is across the board. People who are doing healing, various diseases or illnesses or whatever, have shown miracles through positive words, through prayer, changing the reaction from a plant to the reaction of the water. I mean, right across the board, these things have been scientifically proven, and this to me is awesome. It's just so amazing to me to know. And then on the other side, we also know how we are being affected to disbelieve this stuff, how we are being told that this is not true. There's debunkers that will say this is false, this is not true, even if you have, you know, scientific proof. Or stories or ancient experiences or the facts that come through our oral history and so on and so forth, there will always be debunkers.
Yeah, but even the simple of it, just the way that you talk to somebody, you could take the same exact words and deliver them in a calm and respectful manner, and you could make somebody feel good. But by the tone of just the tone change of whatever word can determine what that that intent or that meaning of that word.
Yeah,
is.
And that tells us that the most the most important words we could look at. What are the most important words that make us feel uplifted and happy?
Well, love is the easiest one for me.
I'd say that. What do you think, Patty?
I agree.
So,
love encompasses all of the positive.
That's correct.
And the thing about love is you don't seem to run out of it no matter how hard you try. You just can't. If you really seriously got love in your heart, it's abundant.
So if I determine or if I discern this as factual through all the investigations and the researches and so on, scientific information and ancient information and elders' information and wisdom, if I discern this and determine this as factual, then how can I use this to make change or to affect my people around me that will emanate out of throughout them, from them, out through the ethers that we were talking about, the frequency waves, the energy waves, that we are sort of like we are the center of this, we are the pebble in the pond.
Yep.
And what we emanate through our gratitude and love, just that mere fact of saying, I'm so grateful for the earth, for the water, for the green, I'm so grateful, and I just love this creation. I love the children. I love the people, you know. That power is extraordinary, and that emanates out throughout the ethers or the waves of frequency energies, whatever you want to call it. And these have been measured and weighed scientifically. Miracles do happen through words and prayer because you are in your gratitude and love frequency when you pray for someone,
yeah,
or when you love someone. And it
uplifts. You know how we talk about our ancestors and how they lived with the land. They were part of the land, and the land flourished, and so did they. It was because, and we talk about this all the time, that our ancestors, they did not have a time for prayer. Prayer was every thought. Prayer went into every action. They walked in a state of bliss and gratitude. And
right.
This, I think, is our natural being. Yes, our natural state.
And when you say they walked in prayer, it's not necessarily that they were speaking a prayer. It was their essence. It was their connectedness. It was their conscious awareness of the beauty all around them, that they, when they walked or whatever they did, they were in connection with the beauty all around them and such gratitude for that beauty. That's a prayer. You don't necessarily have to be saying, you know, a prayer in a sense.
Right. When I say prayer, I don't mean our Father who art in heaven.
Right.
I mean recognizing the connection in your place within the hoop and knowing that you are part of this this beauty that is beyond anything that is imaginable, that we can create. Nothing can compare to the beauty of life itself in our walk in this experience. We lose sight of that when we bring in all the static, the things and when the Europeans came here and they brought the static, we began to falter because we no longer saw through those eyes. We no longer walked in that connection. We began to fear. We began to have animosity and angst and anger. And it's been through every indigenous culture. You've heard me say it before. There's not a single person on this earth that is not indigenous.
Well, Stephen's correct. Stephen Gibbons, right. I think, answered a question that I said earlier. I think I was asking Ted, which I think just showed back up. Cool. About why the system wouldn't want us to realize that we had that kind of that kind of power to make a difference or whatever. And I was getting ready to read the comment, but somebody in the chat room done scrolled up on me. Let me see if I can find it. Basically, the question was, why wouldn't the system want us to know that we could make the world better like that? And he said, anybody would think they don't want nature finding its own balance and abundance, our ability to live from it and not rely on the system for everything, which he just summed it all up in one deal. If we're relying on the system for all of our needs to be met, then we are always going to need them. They will always be able to maintain power. But if we take it upon ourselves to realize that we actually have the potential to uplift each other and communicate with one another with this technology we call the internet or even just in person itself, then we actually don't need that system anymore. I always said it would be really interesting just to see the power of what something simple could be, is if you could take and watch the smile on your face transfer from your face to somebody else's face and follow that smile to see how far it would actually travel. And, hypothetically speaking, if I smiled at somebody and that put them in a good mood and they got on an airplane and they flew clear across the world to another land and they smiled at that person who did, smiled at somebody else and then that got on another plane that went to another part of the world, look how far that positive pebble went. I would be amazed to watch to see how far until that positivity hit a negative wall, such as somebody who's in a really bad mood and said, "What the heck are you smiling at?" and dropped them back down. But
well, if you have a sense, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
If you have a sense of your own well-being, if you have a sense and an understanding of your connectedness to all of creation and source, your frequency is high. If you have a realization that out there, outside your door, is where all things are in harmony and balance, and you can go out upon the mother and receive a healing from the high frequencies that are there, you will not need the system. Okay, you will be self-reliant. You will be a sovereign, sacred being that you were meant to be. So you have that system that does not want us to have critical thinking, does not want us to have a consciousness, an awareness, an awakeness, and a realization that we can heal the world, we can heal ourselves, we can balance and harmonize things, we can create a frequency here, like you say often, the heaven on earth, which was already here to begin with until it was corrupted and interrupted, by the system. A deliberate, but I just want to say one more thing. I have been in various times in my life really down, really depressed, really overwhelmed, and feeling like I'm at my last breath and thread here. I have taken myself out to nature, and I have just sat there in that state of despair. And the longer I sat in that state on the mother, looking out at the water or at the trees or, you know, whatever there, being there, something started to shift. Something started to come. Something, I started to realize and feel and experience something. And invariably, I would become uplifted. I would shift out of that place that was so powerful, that had this grip on me, and then I could get up after a time and walk away and feel really uplifted again and connected to nature. Because that is our fundamental nature. Because there is a healing frequency out there on the mother herself, plus the trees and the waters and so on. You find yourself out in nature, you will receive a healing. I've experienced that over and over and over again.
So, with that said, even Ludicrous World could actually be healed just by the power of all these people out here not entertaining negativity and taking every bit of all this. I'm just amazed by the amount of information available on everything from alternative medicines to alternative energies and everything. Everything that the system has told us was a problem, we have something to resolve. And right now, that's why I wanted to do this show today about Ludicrous, because to me, that's what I see. It's ridiculousness, it's ludicrous, it's to watch this world in the state of affairs that it is right now, with all the wars and the sickness and the poverty and the homelessness and every big thing that you can hear on mainstream media talking about how terrible the world is. Well, I'm waiting for them to come out and say, well, wait a second, this may be a problem, but here's the solution. And we got tons of information out here that backs this up, that, you know, things like, I never heard of hydrogen peroxide therapy. That's something that if you do some research on, you might find it's pretty amazing. Of course, everything has to come with responsibility. Hyperbaric oxygen chambers, there's actually an external version of a hyperbaric oxygen chambers for those who aren't actually the candidate to get inside a pressurized chamber. You can replicate that same result to heal wounds on the outside, wounds that diabetics can't heal by themselves because of poor circulation or their immune systems broke down. All these different things are available and have been available for a long time. But the system ain't going to tell you about that because those things don't make money. Those things don't keep control.
Truth is, ladies, I made it back in, and I got to listen to y'all talk about these things, and I really feel that there's a correctness in understanding that our body can do all of the healing, and within conjunction with the earth and things like that. And I think that, but for some reason, part of the reason why they destroyed all the old technology of the indigenous is there's still, even to this day, there's a big disconnection between science and the old sciences.
Yeah.
And I don't really understand why, in order to learn comedic science, I have to go into the African American culture to try to learn about it, and then I'm starting to learn about all the colloidal zinc, silver, and gold that they've been using since the Egyptian times. And think about all the power that colloidal zinc has for wound healing.
Yeah.
I know a nurse that worked in a wound healing center, and she was pretty high up, and her head nurse let her use the colloidal silver, and she used it in their wing of the hospital, and she received awards and recognitions because of how many MRSA and different things she had helped cure. Their wound treatment went up huge after she started using colloidal silver in their area.
Yep.
Colloidal silver, it's a natural frequency.
Exactly.
It's a high frequency, yeah.
I feel that. Once we have silver inside of our bodies already. We have that resonance.
We
have all the elements in our body,
That's right. Yeah.
I think in the doctor's world, where you got your diploma and your degree or whatever, now you can be called a doctor. I think in the doctor's world, the red tape that holds them back from actually entertaining ideas like the silver that you're talking about, and things, you know, alternatives to the standard medicine. That's what the biggest problem is. I think there's probably a lot of doctors out there who are really good-hearted souls, and they do want to keep up to their Hippocratic oath to do no harm, and they want to actually help heal people. But we've allowed this system to get so twisted. You know, you got to go through the Food and Drug Administration to get any new medicine approved legally to put out there into the hospitals. And so a lot of people are needlessly suffering because of it.
Well, what you're saying is true, and I think that's the dangers of really proving all of what we're talking about mathematically, scientifically, and factually as fact. Like, we know it's fact. Most of the world knows it's fact. The human history definitely knows it's fact. But yet, like, what we call the most advanced version of sciences does not acknowledge it as fact because they don't have mathematics to prove it necessarily, or they don't have a machine sensitive enough to read it yet.
Yep.
And it's like, well, I personally believe they do have the mathematics to prove it, and they do have the machine sensitive enough to prove it. However, you know, we're here stuck talking about still individual concepts that prove it, and then, but I think that's where we're at. We can't rush the progression. We can't snap our fingers and make our free will over everybody else. Like, at the end of the day, people are working pretty hard to pay the cable company $80 a month so they can watch that news. Like, who am I to say, like, well, you just work 20 hours or whatever, or you just work 8 hours of your week to pay for your $110 cable box? Like, I can't really dominate my free will over that. All I can do is excite and share the knowledge and then hope that more people start deciding that this is feasible, physically possible, and then it becomes what. It's like a matter of numbers. Once the numbers are high enough, it will be studied and it will be acknowledged, and then slowly the instruments and the math that they already have will be introduced into our world, and then we can prove all this.
Well,
and then we can prove that people are doing it too, like you say, like with chanting and working in nature, you can do all these things. Like, I'm pretty sure the human body can fly. Now, I don't know if most people are ready for that. Well, you're talking about electromagnetic counter-rotating field around the body inside of another electromagnetic counter-rotating field. Like, to me, this is not really difficult even. But, you know, I don't know how far people want to go with that
either. All that I agree with. Every single bit of it, I agree with. The whole thing is that, you know, the science and everything, even to the extent of free energy and things that most science don't understand, I think there's so much more to this world than meets the eye, but as you mentioned sort of here a second ago, all this stuff will eventually make it to the mainstream, regardless. Pandora's box is already open, and there ain't no way they're going to hold it back, because I've even seen the hyperbaric chambers that once were considered to be some sort of quack science or whatever are now actually in a lot of hospitals. They're in Texas, they're in places, Oceanside, California, they actually have facilities. And even over here where I'm at, they actually have facilities that have these that are treating athletes and celebrities who want to go with anti-aging and stuff. But it took the celebrities and the athletes to actually get it into mainstream deal.
Here's something for you. There was a study done a couple of years ago about using heat, like... The scientists who were doing this study said that the Indian people actually knew what they were doing when they had a sweat lodge. Well, they call it a sweat lodge, but in our tradition, it's really called a purification lodge or healing lodge or a nippy. But they did these studies of putting people in this sort of like a covered unit, and they would, you know, create a level of heat in there that, you know, they noticed that how the healing started to take place. It was pretty extraordinary what happened to the people doing all these tests. And so they actually made the statement that the Indian people, with their traditional medicine lodge, we call it, actually knew what they were doing.
Yep, there you go. Well, folks, this is that time again. This is the time of the show that I don't like, but we're actually starting to run over here. But one of the things that I've been saying every single time we have one of these shows, if you've heard anything on this show that resonates with you, that you feel like is good information, and even if you own your own radio network, download these podcasts, chop them up, take all the best of the best from everything that you got, and share it with somebody else. That's how we send these positive ripples out. And if you're going to be on Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or any of them, if you're going to be on there anyway, take a second or so and drop a link to your favorite podcast or even the Super Chat or Wolf Spirit Radio or People for People Radio or any of the other affiliated networks that you hear about or find on this show. Anything on this website, I don't care what it is. If you like it, share it. That's how we keep this ball rolling. And the more people we can send all these positive ripples out, the better. You know, we started this show off talking about a ludicrous world, and it is ludicrous to sit there and watch knowing that there are things that could actually solve problems like the issue with the doggone algae blooms over in Florida. We know what causes those algae blooms, so we actually know what we need to do to resolve that algae bloom. They even said that it's gotten so bad that the private industry has offered a $10 million reward for anybody that can come across with a solution. I say, why don't we gather a bunch of people over there and go collect the $10 million and use that $10 million to make the world better? Where there's a will, there's a way. Now, I'm just one piece of the puzzle. And Patty's just one piece of the puzzle, Barbara's just one piece of the puzzle, and Ted and Steven and Gaz and all these other people that come together to provide this content for you on this show, we're just pieces of the puzzle. You're that missing piece of the puzzle that we're trying to shout out for. You know, it took a while to get Ted up on here. I'm glad I did, because this man's brilliant. And I hope he shows up again. He makes one of the good additions to the Knights of the Round Table. So as far as I'm concerned, he's an honorable Knight of the Round Table. And, you know, with that said, we want you to be Honorable Knights of the Round Table. We want you to take every bit of what we talk to you about and take it out there in your little local community and start building other networks and start doing the same exact thing, because the more positivity we can put in this world, it has to do the better than what we've seen the standard norm. There's no reason in my mind, and it drives me insane, while there's a baby somewhere in this world that can't get food and fresh water, when we have access to technology to where we can not only GPS their location, but we can use places like Federal Express or whatever to airship them and get anything, any product to any person at any given time, day or night. We can deliver whatever their needs are to them. That's the kind of network I'd like to build. You know, I don't have all the resources, you don't have all the resources, and none of us have all the resources alone, but combined, we make a power that not only outnumbers the elite at billions to one, but we make a power force that if there's a problem in this world, we can send a resolution in that direction and help those folks out. That's why I still say to this very day that I still believe in the dream. That quite literally, if we choose to use our free will in this great abundance of what we've got out here in this world, this world is amazing. It's beautiful. It has everything we need. There's nothing on this planet that wasn't here before. There is nothing that we've ever used up that ain't still here. No matter what you do to it, even their own science says energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So where does it go? You burn that piece of firewood, it makes more products and more fuel in the process. And if you understand that basic science and those processes, there is nothing that we can't resolve. And all the trash in the world isn't trash to me. It now becomes treasure, because you can take and repurpose or re-engineer or take that stuff, and nothing gets wasted. Just like nature itself has shown time and time again, nothing in nature ever gets wasted. It's all recycled back into the system. And if you want to benefit each other, then you need to learn how to work in harmony with that system. And if you help nature out, nature will help you back. So with that said, it's time to go around the table. And since Ted's charging his phone up, he might want to go first and get his last word in. Ted, this is a time where you get your last words of wisdom for each night's the round table. So you got anything you want to tell everybody out there, or any kind of website you want to promote? This is the time to do it. You got the microphone.
Well, I appreciate all your kind words, and I just wish that we all keep an open mind to things, because it says, I know you don't like the idea of people praying for machines to work, but I know that we do have a connection to the machines, and we're there is something deeper here. And, you know, I'm really grateful that you've got such a collection of beautiful people, like, especially from the elder community, it sounds like, that, you know, are willing to share. And it has to be kind of difficult to sit back and hear us talk about electricity, or, you know, people talking about electricity and different things, like, about in the very technical world, while, you know, spiritually and energetically, we can complete all this without ever soldering one thing.
Yep.
It's just, you know, it's... we're in a conundrum where we all have to kind of come together and find that common line of what we want and what we truly desire. And I think that when we pull most people on Earth, if you really were to sit them down and put them in wherever their, you know, fantasy world would be, whether it's on the beach or on a mountain somewhere or whatever, and say, like, well, what do you want? At that point, with their disconnection to their daily lives and stuff, I don't think they would know what they wanted.
Yeah.
So within that is a very big loss of power.
Yeah.
And I've understood that as long as people truly believe that 1% of a population controls anything, they're really working in a fantasy land. I mean, there is no one person in a group of 100 that controls them. That's an impossibility. You know, we've allowed ourselves to believe that, and then we've cut ourselves off from our own powers. And we're not going to be able to unlock our own powers until I think we can prove a lot of it with science. And I don't think that that's wrong or anything. It's just it's a step. It's like it's an unnecessary step, but it seems to me with what we've got and all the tools in front of us today, it's what we're going to need to do. So therefore, that's what I'm going to do. And I appreciate you all supporting me on that. And I support you all on your dreams and wishes for whatever you wish for the world to become, because I hear in your voice, it's like you have a positive intention. If we can focus that, if we can all come together and find out in all the different groups that are trying to expand peace and freedom amongst us, if we can find the one common thread that connects us, not the 10 or 15 common threads that's always going to be different. If we can just get that one common thread that connects us and focus our intentions and wills together simultaneously, I think we can have some kind of a huge resonance ripple effect, not even across the Earth, but across the entire universe as known in our minds.
Yeah, I agree.
And so with that, I love you all. Thank you for having me today.
Love
appreciate
you,
all your kind words today.
Looking forward to having you back again. I got a picture on the Super Chat Room. If you scroll down underneath all the chats, a good friend of mine named Two Dog that is standing with another friend of his in front of the Tree of Peace with a couple flags that represent the nations that come together. And one of the things that Two Dog said to me when he was talking about science there, Ted, that he didn't think that he could keep up with me as far as science goes. And I said, Two Dog, I said, do you realize that all science is based off of observation of nature? And what better scientist that you could have it than a naturalist who's actually, you know, paid attention to nature and learned so much from nature and is actually sharing it? I said, everything that we talk about in science is nature. Nature's the best teacher. And so me watching him stand there in front of the Tree of Peace is a confirmation to everything that just came out of your mouth, Ted. So it was that was a brilliant addition to this show. I just love it. So with that said, Barbara, you want to go next?
Sure. As always, I appreciate being here with you today, Shaziz, and everyone, our sister and Patty and new brother here, Ted. Knights to the Roundtable, welcome. And all those out there on Wolf Spirit Radio, glad you were here today. And peopleforpeople.ning.com, our family over here. I'm so appreciative to be able to share some things and... as always, I say, I hope that something sang to your heart spirit today that was offered. And I truly believe that we are seed planters. And when you plant a seed from your heart with love and gratitude, you water that seed and you speak to that seed and you know, have that hope in your heart that it will grow and become a beautiful fruit or food. And you don't scream at that seed to move and grow. You don't stomp your feet around and get angry and frustrated because it's taking so long. Or you may think it's taking so long, but that as a seed planter, you plant the seed of love because I'm so grateful
the gratitude that I have for the mother and creation and the children and all that we see is enormous. And that's my seed, my gratitude and my love and appreciation. And from that point, that seed planted, it emanates out throughout the ethers, out through the waves of the sacred web of life, which we are all connected to. And the seeds that we plant in other people may take a long time to grow. I don't know. It's not up to me. It's up between that person and the great spirit or creator. But I plant the seed because I love the people and I love the children and I love the mother. I'm going to plant the seed of love and let it be according to the way creator, you know, has assessed the timeline here. So I just want to say that we are all seed planters, and I guess it's up to us to really pay attention to what types of seeds that we are planting.
Yeah.
Because these seeds that we plant come from our words, they come from our thoughts, our emotions, and our actions, and our intentions. So that's a power that we have. It's extraordinary. And I just want to say that, and Vilamaya Doksha.
Well, with all that said, and the talk of seeds, it reminds me, in my book of faith that I subscribe, Jesus said that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. I feel like I got the faith of a mountain, and I'm trying to move mustard seeds. And the thing is, folks, you may not always live long enough like the old Johnny Appleseed story, but planting that seed like Barbara just mentioned to you, you may never live long enough to, you know, taste the fruits of your labor. But the thing about it is, when you get that seed planted, somebody down the line is going to benefit from the nourishment, from the fruits or whatever, and that leaves a positive ripple out there that can make this world a better place. That's why I keep on saying it. I honestly believe that we have the power, if we take our free will and all that we've been given, to do just that. So I'm taking what, you know, my book of faith said about the mustard seed, and I'm going to put that faith to the test, and I'm gonna move mountains. And that's, you know, that's where I come from. So with that said, Patty, sorry, I did it again. I'm gonna get beat up one of these days.
No, that happens all the time. I just want to give a shout out to Wolf Spirit Radio. Thank you for airing the show. Also, People for People Radio. Anyone out there, you can come to the People for People site and support us. And the way you can do that, I always say, is you can either go to Gaz's invisible donate button and try to find how you're going to put in there to donate a monetary amount. It ain't going to happen, but you can try. Or you can do what really works, what is really most important, what we need your support for most, and that is to go to our YouTube channel, peopleforpeopleradio.name.com, spelled out, the dot, and subscribe to our channel. Thumbs up the videos. Please leave a comment. Share them with your social media. That's how the word gets out. So I want to say thank you to everybody for listening and for supporting us. And I also, you know, Ted, it's really wonderful to have you on here, because I do come from a spiritual aspect of change, and I see the truth within my own spiritual walk that I have on this earth, and I know that the change comes from within, that if we are ever to step out of this matrix that we have adopted, that we have chosen to adopt. No one forced us into this. We incrementally have stepped away from our connection, and we can step back to that connection. And it's important that we do. Change has to come from the individual first before change can be promoted outside of the individual. We have science. We have what I call bunk science right now, that is used for destructive methods. But I have always said that there are technologies that we have solutions that are beneficial, that benefit every living being on this earth. And we should employ those. We should work towards those. Solutions abound. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what status. It doesn't matter what type of place you are. There is a solution that fits your needs. We are one community. We are one earth. We are one people. And the sharing of knowledge is key. But along with that, we have to have that belief in ourselves that we can affect change, that we can provide the solution, whether it comes from inside us or whether we work toward the external solutions. Both are paramount at this time. We live in a most wondrous time. This is the greatest adventure that we will ever experience right now. We hold within our realm the ability to become what dreams are made of. We are the dream, and we are the dreamers, and we are squandering this by giving in to the negative influences that surround us. They have no bearing on us unless we choose to allow them to control us. It's all a choice. We have a choice. Always, in everything, we have a choice. We can walk in love. We can walk in compassion. We can walk in understanding. And we can change the universe.
Yep.
And this is where we need to be. Be happy. Be happy with yourself, because you are beautiful and you are a most wondrous creation. Just think about the fact that you are alive.
Yep.
And what a miraculous thing that is. How amazing is that? That we, the two-leggeds, have the ability to change life by speaking the right words, by changing frequencies from negative to positive just with our thoughts. How powerful is that?
Well,
we belong to the earth, and the earth is our mother. It sustains us. Everything that is within this system that we call life is dependent on each and every other living thing within this system. We are no different. We are the system. And if we look out at the world and we see that there are issues, that there are problems, then it has to come home to roost with us. It is we, the power, the real, true power of life, that has the control if we ever choose to step up and take control. It's only a choice away. And I love each and every one of you, and I thank you for listening today, and Shaziz and Ted and Barbara, you rock my world. Thank you so very much for having me on. And I can't believe I woke up early enough this morning to actually start the show.
Well, so happy you that you did.
Well, folks, that wraps up another Knights of the Round Table. And like Patty said, that the way that you can support us isn't monetarily. We don't need your money. You know, what we do need is for you to take whatever you heard from this that you know can be helpful to somebody else and send it out to the world. That is how you make this happen. I honestly believe that we have a opportunity here right now to make this world a better place. And if it's something just as simple as words, I've had people tell me, oh, well, you guys don't never do nothing. You just talk about it. Well, you know what? Words are powerful. And if my words inspire somebody else to go out there and give somebody a fresh glass of water to drink because they used the science that was available to actually show people how to do it, then I think my job is done. I think I've done what I can. And anything out there that, you know, needs to be done, I believe together if we decide we want to address it, it will get resolved. No ifs, ands, or buts. So another brilliant show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. And if you heard anything on this show, please pass it on. That's how you support us around here. That's all we're ever going to ask from you. We're not going to ask for anything other than what we're willing to give. And if we're willing to give our time to give you information and links, and you're willing to do the same for others, well, then I think that's the pay it forward we've been looking for. And if you're looking for still, if you're still out there searching for a miracle or waiting for it to happen, I want you to go stand in front of a mirror, and if you look in that mirror, you will see that you are the miracle you've been waiting for. You're that missing piece of the puzzle that has to come together with all of us in order to make the big picture complete. That's the simple of the whole thing. That's how we're going to get this world fixed. So peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to Knights of the Round Table. Take care. That's the wrong song. Do-do-do-do. Let me skip past that.
Okay, you guys, that was awesome.
Yes, awesome.
Awesome change, the ludicrous work.
It's just one ant.
Yeah, boys, they're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had loved a scimitar at me, they put me away!
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh?
That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more than table. The many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Ho, ho, ho! Tu sazes da terra! To fill the turbo and the knights of the round table.